This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White! He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there! McCoy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there, welcome to a new week, start of a new week, good afternoon, and welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive, and a big day here at One Bills Drive. We'll talk about that a lot today. Joining us in studio, co-hosting today and a couple of days this week, happy to have from the NFL on CBS, Bills Wall of Famer, former Bills special teams ace, Steve Tasker. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, Murph.
Got to let people know, this is not the new show yet. It's kind of confusing, right? The new show starts a week from today.
It's a gentle transition.
Yes. What do they call that? A soft opening for the new show, One Bills Drive, which is a week from today. Steve joined us. Donald Jones' last day was Friday. He's going to be with us a couple of days this week. Chris Brown will join us as well as we are in transition leading up to One Bills Live. Myself and Steve Tasker live right here at this time on this station, radio and television, from this studio, starting next Monday, 12 noon to 3 p.m., One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Looking forward to that. So we have a chance to kind of ramp it up a little bit in the next week. Get ready for One Bills Live.
We can decide if we like each other or not before we actually commit.
A little bit late for that. Steve is with us today from now until 3, and a good show today because it's a big day here. First of all, it is the start of the off-season conditioning program. More than 50 players. I tried to do a head count, but it's hard because they weren't all on the field together. Yeah. But more than 50 players now, all under contract to the Bills, begin their off-season workouts today. It already started this morning. There was media here today shooting some of the workouts. Pretty basic stuff, just on the field for working out today. Let me tell you, they are kind of limited. Not kind of. Yeah, they are limited in what they can do. They're very limited.
They caught me off guard. I walked in, and they're all jumping around. And last couple of weeks ago, UB was in here working out and stuff, and they look a little different than the UB Bulls. But because it's hard to recognize the guys. No jerseys, no helmets, no pads. They don't look anything like it. Plus, it's been a few months since you've seen any of them. Plus, there's a lot of new faces in there as well. And, you know, Kelvin Benjamin was in there, and a couple of guys, Traverse Cadet was in there. And so you recognize, and some of the big guys as well, and the new signees. But it just reminded me how much I hated minicamp. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they don't. It's and I want to get Steve to talk about how it's changed. It is phase one of the off-season conditioning program. It's this weekend. The first 2 weeks of the 9-week off-season schedule, limited to strength and conditioning work, physical rehab for players who've had off-season surgery. Only the strength and conditioning staff can work with and observe players on field. They have classroom work when they're not on the field, classroom work with members of the coaching staff. That's the interaction. It is all voluntary. We took a look around. Steve and I were here this morning taking a look around, and you were kind of reminiscing about what it was like back in your day when the off-season began, right?
It's strictly gym class. I mean, it's not even football. I mean, you're getting height, weight, strength tests, conditioning tests. They're running you through. These guys, they're doing a little bit of training, a little bit of core work and stuff. I think the key thing for everybody is the classroom work. The coaches and the assistant coaches sit down with these guys. And for those of you who don't kind of have never thought about what it's really like, you spend a lot of time as a pro athlete, particularly in football, in a classroom setting. You're sitting in a room with a position coach and about however many guys are in your position group in the season. It's not very many because there are only 50 guys spread out among 22 slots. So there's like five guys a spot maybe in some of the positions. And it's you five guys and your position coach. And you spend hours and hours, day after day, together talking about the offense, what your assignments are, what your formations are. And that begins this week at this thing. That room opens up and you turn into this little kind of family within a family,
right,
of guys. And how those rooms come together kind of says how happy you are and going to be in your workplace, because it's a lot of give and take, and you got to participate in it.
Just started today for the 2018 Buffalo Bills. And, of course, they've got draft picks coming in a couple of weeks. That to be added, less than 2 weeks away. Today on the show, we're going to talk more about the offseason workouts, but you should know that at 1 o'clock today, both head coach Sean McDermott and General Manager Brandon Bean are going to meet with the media. We will carry that those news conferences live. They are simultaneous at 1 o'clock. After that, Sean McDermott scheduled to join us here in studio with Steve and myself. We'll talk with him. We'll follow up with some of the issues raised there and have a few of our own questions, I think, for the head coach, too.
Yeah, right? See if they answer them.
We're talking to Lorenzo about this, Lorenzo Alexander, last week, Steve. This is different. Last year, when Sean McDermott came in here a week earlier as a first-year head coach, it was all new. Everybody was all new. Right. It was probably, hello, my name is time, right? This year, Sean comes back, and he knows the veterans returning. Not only do they know each other, they know what to expect. They know what the standard is. And that's got to make a big difference, I would think.
And not only do they know each other and know what's expected, they had a great experience last year. They got to the playoffs. They formulated a culture. They made some enormous moves at this time of the year. Last year, just leading up to training camp and just out of training camp, the roster was churned. They churned a lot of the roster during training camp. Remember, they showed up with 20 new faces, 25 new faces. And I think coming back, I think as a player, and I know this is the way it was for me back in the day, you kind of you're ready to jump back on that horse and get it running again. You know, you're ready for that again. It was a real good year last year for them. They surprised a lot of people, and I think at that year, I think you got to admit last year they surprised themselves.
Yeah.
With how not only how well they played and the fact they made the playoffs, but how fun it was again. Because this is a team. Let's face it; it was a little gloomy after a 17-year playoff drought. To think, you not even know what it looks like, really. But then to go in last year and come through that whole season like all Bills fans did and Bills Nation and everybody kind of watching them get into the playoffs all at once, it's a huge up for this franchise, for the city as well. So to come back and to jump back into it now, man, I think these guys are – I think particularly the veterans, they want to be back here and get a part of it and see and feel it again. And I think it's – a great spot to be in.
As the week goes along, we'll get a chance here on the show to talk to some of these Bills veterans who are back here for the off-season conditioning program. And, of course, we prepare for the draft. That's coming up on the show today. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we want to talk to Steve about something that he talked about over the weekend, and that deals with the future of kickoffs in the NFL. At 1 o'clock today, we'll pick up live the Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott news conference, and following that, Sean McDermott. Throughout the afternoon, we'll take your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You and I spent a lot of time together recently, though, Steve.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Friday night, and then Saturday morning. Saturday morning was Frank Reich's 17th Annual Call of Courage Awards Banquet. I was MC. Steve was part of a panel discussion we did. Always a great event, and every year, they keep coming back. There were, I think, 850 people in attendance.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
As you might expect with him becoming a head coach of another franchise in the Colts and the success he's had as an assistant coach and all the things that have happened to him over the last 4 months with winning the world championship with a backup quarterback. And one of the things they always do is they go back at his banquet here in Buffalo, the Call to Courage. They go back and look at that comeback game.
Yeah.
And it was really poignant, I think, at that point, when you see Frank and you remember him here in Buffalo going back and winning the greatest comeback in NFL history in a playoff game for the Buffalo Bills, being down 35-3, and coming back and winning it as a backup quarterback. And then coming back to Buffalo as a world champion who won the Super Bowl with his backup quarterback with the Philadelphia Eagles and then moving on to a head coaching spot in the Indianapolis Colts. It was a pretty good day. And obviously, I'm just one of the people hundreds of people that are really, really happy for him and excited to see how he does this year and wish him the best.
It was a great morning. Demario Davis, who was on our show last Wednesday, was the winner of the Call to Courage Award this year from the NFL, from the New Orleans Saints. Gave a great speech. Frank was great. Steve was great. Just a great day. And I want to get to what Steve talked about in a moment. Want to invite you to join us, too, on Twitter, our Twitter poll. As we looked around, we saw all the new faces, all the old returning faces, and we got to thinking, where are we? It's sort of I got the sense today, Steve, was a little bit of a take stock day. You know there are draft picks coming, right? You know they have draft picks coming. They have undrafted rookie free agents and maybe some more veteran free agents coming. But really, looking at the roster today, it's sort of you take stock of what you have. That's our Twitter poll question. Are you, listener, viewer, are you confident in the way the Bills are building their roster this year? And if so, why? Or if not, why? Give us a call, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. or vote on Twitter. On Twitter, we're still at John Murphy Show right now. 72% of you say yes, you're confident. 20% say no, not so confident. Are you confident in the way this roster is coming together? We know there are more additions down the line. Maybe a franchise quarterback candidate coming down the line. But what they've done so far through free agency, what they've done so far, even bringing back some of the longtime veterans like Kyle Williams, do you think they're pointed in the right direction? Phone lines open. Give us your thoughts. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550, or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. On Twitter, you can see that people have different opinions. Joey Newman tweets in, all these one-year deals mean we're going to be terrible this year and then rebuild up via the draft and free agency with the quarterback on a rookie deal. I'm all for it.
Well, they signed a bunch of guys last year on one-year deals. In fact,
some of whom were contributors.
Very big contributors. And now they're bringing some of those guys back. And I think if and as bad as it sounds, it's a great way to motivate a guy, particularly a veteran player who's got a little bit of who's been around the league, maybe bounced around. You get him on a one-year deal, he's going to give you his absolute best effort because he knows if he hits a home run, like, for instance, like Lorenzo Alexander did 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he had 12 sacks
right
out of the blue as a special teams guy. They signed him as a special teams guy, and then he comes in, has 12 sacks because of the role that they switched him to. That's what every one-year deal thinks he can do if he's given the chance, and they're going to come in and give you the Bills, I think, a huge effort. So I kind of disagree with you if you think, you know, they're going to, you know, give these guys one-year deals and they're going to stink. Listen, it's a great way to get a lot of guys on your roster that are highly motivated.
Maybe there's in this year's DJ Gaines out there on a one-year deal. You know, he came in
Absolutely.
On a one-year deal last year and played pretty well. Another tweet, Oak Duke tweets in, too much turnover. Worry the upcoming season is going to be a bust like the previous 17 years. All that glitters is not gold. I don't know how that applies to it. Have the previous 17 years been busts? Was last year a bust, making the playoffs, finishing with 9 wins? I don't think so.
Last year illustrated to me more than anything that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have a real clear vision and a plan about how to do it. They maximize every situation. The E.J. Gaines trade, the Sammy Watkins, the Shaq Lawson, the Reggie Ragland. Is what I was really getting at. They're trading Reggie Ragland away, a guy who didn't fit the scheme. They were running a different defensive philosophy in Kansas City, and we ended up getting this draft pick.
Yeah.
So I love the philosophy they're using. No question it's a little different than what the Bills have done in the past, but I don't think there's any question either. I don't see any doubt that a lot of people were ready for them to do a little something different than they had been in the past. And now that it does look different, don't be afraid of it just because it looks a little different than the philosophy that he used in years past.
And there's a tweet from a listener, Mike Neary, who seems to get that and points that out. He says, the Bills seem like they know what they are doing. We made the playoffs with a ragtag group, but players with heart. And that goes to your point. They have a certain type of player they're looking for here. They assembled that group as best they could a year ago. Probably assemble a similar group this year, all the while dealing with dead salary cap money, with the absence of some formerly highly drafted, highly paid players. And, now they have 6 draft picks to sort of assemble this roster moving for the future. But they know what they want. They know the type of players they want. They got that group last year, won 9 games, which is, nothing to sneeze at. It's not Super Bowl championship level, but 9 wins for a team that had trouble getting to that level and making the playoffs, however they did it. I think one might hope that they can do that again with the group that they've assembled here today. And they've not even finished assembling the roster yet. And that's what we want to know from you. Do you think they're pointed in the right direction on this roster? How do you feel about that? We know there are more players to come, probably, 15 to 20 players to come when you deal with undrafted rookie free agents and some of the rookie draft picks and some of the veterans who might be on the way. But right now, on this first day of the off-season conditioning program, are you confident in the way the Bills are building the roster for 2018? Phone lines open 803-0550 and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. By example, today, to get them on the field, they signed a couple of other veteran free agents, Steve. They signed a big name, but Jeremy Curley has had some good moments. Wide receiver, spent last season with the Jets, his second stint with the Jets. He was an original fifth-round pick in 2011 of the Jets. 8 games last season, 22 catches, 217 yards, one touchdown. In 2016, he was with the Niners, was a free agent there, and had a really good year in 2016. Career high, 64 catches, 667 yards, three touchdowns. Curly, not big, 5'9", 188 pounds. Expected to get a chance to be a slot receiver here for the Bills. Jeremy Curley is a Buffalo Bill now. That is not an insignificant addition to a wide receiver core that needed some people.
He's 29 years old, and he's got a lot of I think when a guy reaches that point or this point in his career, and we've said it a lot, he shows you something about his commitment to getting better and staying professional, staying relevant to every team that he plays on. You go back to the 2 years ago when he had that nice year in San Francisco. That was a year when the San Francisco 49ers were in a little bit of turmoil.
Yeah.
And to put together some statistics like that for an offense that was struggling says a lot about him. And he's a guy that the Bills fans should be very familiar with because he spent 6 years in New York playing against the Bills. So it's something that I'm kind of excited to see him go this direction. He's built like a slot receiver. He's a little bit smaller, very quick inside guy. And he's got a lot of experience, and I'm pretty sure they like his off-the-field demeanor as well and the reports they get about what kind of guy he is. So I think he's a guy that's going to fit the character profile that they want to get.
Curley has also had some experience as a punt return specialist, averaging just under 9 yards per punt return. I would look for him to get a chance to win that job. So a new Buffalo Bill, Jeremy Curley, wide receiver, added to the roster today as they continue to build this roster. They also signed a guy we talked about last week who was in for a visit, defensive lineman Tenny Palepoi, Palepoi, veteran. He is in three of the last four seasons, he has been kind of a rotational player through the defensive line with the Chargers, both San Diego and Los Angeles. Was an undrafted rookie signee of the Chargers in 2014. Did not play in 2015 with a fractured foot. Last season, 20 tackles in a reserve row. That was a career high for him. A former college teammate of his from Utah on the Buffalo Bills roster right now, star Lotulelei. Palepoi was Lotulelei's backup in college at Utah in 2012. 6'2". 298 pounds, expected to compete for a rotational role in Buffalo's run defense, the run front. Tenny Palepoi, who wore number 95 with the Chargers, San Diego and L.A., is now a Buffalo Bill. Again, you look at the areas where the Bills look like they need help, they've shored them up a little bit with a wide receiver and defensive front today, Steve.
Yeah, they're signing a lot of guys up front. Just, they're going to sift through them and see who excels in their system and who wants it most. I think you see a lot of teams do it. There are a lot of guys out there who aren't household names, but with a change of scenery and with some different coaching or with the personality and the kind of guy they are can turn into something really special for the team. They've signed a lot of guys like that. You just mentioned all of them. And that's actually what free agency really mostly is about, is getting guys. Certainly there's some big splash things, but almost always, and we've seen in the past, you got to really pay a lot for one of those guys. And there's only so much a defensive tackle can do, and there's only so much a defensive end can do. Now, even a wide receiver or whatever, you've heard, Dez Bryant is now released from the Dallas Cowboys. Mainly that was a financial decision. The guy's a, 16 or $16.5 million hit on their cap. You can't do that with a wide receiver, and it leaves you too thin at other places. So I think free agency and what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are doing and the philosophy they've got is, listen, let's get guys who are going to contribute. We don't have to pay them all that money, but we're going to have a bunch of guys who all contribute, and we're going to be better because of it and be stronger at all parts of our roster than to have one or two guys soaking up the salary cap and dominating headlines.
So the roster construction continues here at One Bills Drive. Defensive lineman Tenny Palepoi and wide receiver Jeremy Curley added to the roster today. Leads us to our Twitter poll question, our question for the phone lines. Are you confident in the way the Bills are building the roster for 2018? Why are you confident? Why not? Were you not confident? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Are you confident? Do you like the way they're going in roster construction this year? We know there's a long way to go. Bills fan Phoenix tweets in, I'm very confident. Look at what they did with the little they had after the GM switch last year. More picks this year, and most importantly, the drought is over. That is important. Timothy tweets in, very confident. They're getting coachable players. This staff will get the most out of them. This is a new era. Eric Richardson's tweet, I'm a firm believer and trust the process. They made questionable trades last season. It turns out that we break the playoff drought. They know what's best. I believe they're headed in the right direction. Steve, there's no question. Ending the drought and just playing the way they played last year has given Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, I'm not going to say a blank check, but certainly a lot of capital when it comes to the fan base.
Certainly,
right?
A benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, they got crushed early on when they traded Sammy Watkins and got who is this guy, E.J. Gaines, and they traded away and got Jordan Matthews. Who is that guy? And, you know, these guys are sought-after players, and E.J. Gaines, a lot of people now were saying, golly, we needed to keep him until they got Vontae Davis. So even that, trading E.J. Gaines for Vontae Davis is a pretty good move. So, they certainly got a benefit of the doubt. They're a team. They took over a team as unknowns. I mean, Brandon Bean was an assistant GM in Carolina, and Sean McDermott, first-time head coach. And all of a sudden, there are two guys I think a lot of, and including myself here in Buffalo, I'm excited to see what they do. Because they really do seem to be at least trying to turn over every rock. Because, I mean, you know how it is. I mean, the fans and you out there listening to us, and Murph, you and I talk about it. You sit in the office with all your friends, and you think, they should do this, they should do that, this guy's doing that, da, 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 and you think, you kind of get the feeling these guys are doing that.
Yeah.
All the trades they make, they don't sit still. They're not just saying, I don't know, it's a big – they make those. They make moves that none of us are even thought were on the table. So I think it's interesting too now to think what they're going to do with number 12 and what they're going to do with number 22. I get the feeling they move up at 12. They got to be ready maybe to stay right there if it comes to it, because they're not. We've heard Brandon Bean say they're not going to chase somebody. They're not going to throw all these draft picks and everything they've got at one of these guys. Because once you overpay for him, you change the dynamics of why you draft the kid. You can't build a roster around him. There's too much pressure on him to be successful. His mistakes are going to be magnified. It's going to make it more difficult for him to be any kind of quarterback, let alone a franchise quarterback. So you know what? We'll take him where we can get him if we can. If we move up, fine. But you got to be happy where you're at in this draft and have a plan. So if you pick 12, you're going to get a guy you want, whether it's a quarterback or not. And you got to be ready for that, because there might be team. There's 11 teams ahead of you, and none of them may want to trade with you.
It's going to be tough to move up. I still think they want to try, but it's going to be tough. The question is, are you confident in the way the Bills are building their roster? Chris Pearson tweets in, I'm keeping my expectations low, but I trust the process and look forward to what the Bills have to do in the draft, like the re-signs.
Trust the process. He's drinking the Kool-Aid. Way to go, man.
Guzzling the Kool-Aid.
I am trusting the process.
Tom Spence tweets in, last year, all the pundits had the Bills as one of the worst teams in the league. I don't think they're ready to contend, but they're going the right way, depending on how they answer quarterback. Many answers left, but I like what they're doing. I think that's kind of where I am. And he's right. Last year, and it was right after they traded away Watkins and Ronald Darby, people said, oh, that's it. Bills are done. They're tanking. Season's over. No, that was not the case at all. The pundits, the people who said that, were absolutely wrong. That isn't the way it played out. So I think, as you said, they've earned the benefit of the doubt. They have more moves to make. I think they're hoping to make a quarterback move, hoping they can get there. But I think it behooves everyone to just sort of keep an eye on what's going on, as we did today when we looked at those players out there, those Bills players out on the field for the off-season conditioning program. Keep an eye on what's going on, but know that there are more people to come.
Even the quarterback thing, I keep going around and around with it, how much you want to pay for it. I'm still intrigued by A.J. McCarron as well. There's no way at the point where he was drafted that he was going to take over for Andy Dalton. And as much – goodwill as there was for Andy Dalton after the last game of the season this last year and the win for the Bengals putting the Bills in the playoffs, that's not a guy, even though there's no way you bench Andy Dalton for A.J. McCarron or anybody else, because you're going to the playoffs every year in Cincinnati. So when they drafted A.J. McCarron, how do we know how good or bad he's going to be? And I said this before, the guy played pretty darn well when he was in there for Andy Dalton in that playoff game and the three games or four games before that at the end of the regular season. I'm really intrigued by it, and it almost gets me to the point where I'm like, I want to see what McCarron can do. And if we can get all those draft picks we've got and get great players with those picks, you got to feel like this is going to be a team that's going to take a giant step forward and not back into the playoffs, but maybe get, maybe a home playoff game. Maybe – like that.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see him. I love the way they're building it up, and that's the idea. I mean, before you get to the draft, you got to get good enough at every position through free agency to take the best player available. And then everything else about moving up, moving down, it doesn't matter because whatever you can get that pick, you're going to pick the best guy available because there is no glaring hole in your roster that you need to fill. I don't know if they're quite to that point yet, but certainly I think I'm intrigued by their quarterback stuff with A.J. McCarron and Ben Peterman behind him.
First day on the field for the Bills, the offseason conditioning program begins. We're taking stock of the roster. Are you confident the way the Bills are building up their roster so far? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Tom in West Seneca, you're on the air with us. Tom, go ahead.
John, Steve, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm confident. I went 70%, but there's one area I disagree in, and you know what I'm going to say. If they're just going for a tall quarterback, I don't like that. You know my guy. He's a six-footer. His name is Mayfield. And also, that's the way I'd go. But also, Steve, welcome aboard the JM train.
Thanks. Why do you now tell me why you like Mayfield? I mean, I know he's short and all that. You just like the way his confidence, or what about him?
It's those things here. He's got the confidence. I see them play. Confidence, cockiness, call it what you will. He seems to be a pretty accurate passer. And I just got a good feeling about him, Steve. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, I can. A lot of people. Yeah, you're drafting a person. There's no question about it. It's not just number and a player and statistics that you're drafting. You're drafting a guy, and that guy is going to have to make his way in a locker room in the NFL with a bunch of old guys who are not impressed by his Heisman Trophy. So. If you're that kind of guy, you can step in and wade into that locker room and cut a swath through a locker room like that. That says a lot about you. It doesn't make you a better football player, but it certainly may help your team be better because they want to play hard for you. And that's as important as anything. And it was important to the all-time great Bills quarterback Jim Kelly. And it'll be important for Mayfield if he wants to become that.
Let's take a call from Greg in his car. Greg, hello. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Couple things. First of all, the quarterback, just want to make a comment. I think it's great that the Browns and the Jets are going to pick a quarterback because whoever they pick is probably not going to be very good. the fact that we'll get the rest is great. I would only move up past Miami to, I think they're leaning towards one of these quarterbacks. I'd like to deny a division rival of getting, their pick and maybe us getting one. But I think at 12, I think we're going to get someone that's pretty good. And I think not only is the quarterback important who he is, but I think who he goes to is important. And I think the Bills are in position to take one of these guys and really make him a good quarterback. If Brady was drafted by the Browns or the Bills back in 2000, I don't know if he would have turned out to be Tom Brady.
Why do you think, Greg, the Bills are a good team for one of these developmental quarterbacks? What do you see?
Say that again?
Why do you believe that? Why do you think the Bills will be good for one of these quarterbacks?
I like the coaching staff. I like what they did with their personnel last year. I mean, let's face it. Preseason, we're talking about over under six wins. Playoffs aren't going to happen, and they just have a winning attitude and a winning mentality, and they put players in position to be successful. That's what a coaching staff's job is to do, and sometimes you don't see it.
Well, that's interesting because you're right, because one of the things that happens is where the guy goes sometimes does dictate how successful he's going to be, particularly early on in his career. And the culture that that McDermott has built in the Bills locker room, you got to know it's a real positive situation. I mean, everybody noted this season. You saw it at the end of last year when they all were in the locker room together watching to see if they made the playoffs and some of the things that happened on the field about how great they were with Kyle Williams scoring a touchdown in Week 17. They've got a positive, very supportive locker room with a lot of guys who really like being there. And for a young quarterback who is going to struggle at times, no question, to be in an atmosphere like that is probably much better than a situation where, like the Jets have been in the past, where the media is beating them up, where the media kind of tries to get one player to say something so they can go to the other player that he's talking about, and they open up this can of worms where the locker room becomes, a conversation, a debate rather than a family. And I think you're right. That culture is going to be conducive for a guy wanting to go to work, feeling supported, and feeling like failure is not final, where he can go out and try some things, and if it doesn't work, he's going to get another chance to do better. And so I think, yeah, there's no question where these guys are drafted is going to dictate how successful they can be, particularly early.
I agree with Greg on most of that, and I agree with him on what the last season's preseason outside analysis with the Bills was. But I do have to say, Steven, this is totally self-serving. I never bought into the fact that, A, the Bills were tanking, or, B, that they were in trouble going into last year. In fact, on the show, I know I said they're going to win between 7 and 9 games. They won 9. I didn't think they were bottoming out last year. Many people did.
Right. Now, I think because they were a first-year crew, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, they were willing to do some things because they knew that they had some time to recover. And they were making some bold moves. And I think the big thing, they recognized those big things they needed to do.
Yes.
Sammy Watkins, you know, trading away, and Ron Darby traded away. I mean, some guys who people were really, really surprised at being jettisoned for whatever reason.
They traded away some main players.
And to have a coaching staff that recognizes that and that they felt they could and realized and believed and willing to act on those beliefs that they would be better without those players who were very good. That, to me, is unbelievable to think about a young coaching staff and a young GM saying, you know what, and believing it and doing it and having it work out in the way that it did in that first year. That's the most amazing thing about last year as far as the coaching staff and the administration that I can say. And that's why we said just a minute ago, I think they've earned, with me in particular, a lot of benefit of the doubt. I mean, they made some tough, big, huge calls last year that were right. And it took big – they could have stood pat and done nothing last year and never been blamed. And instead, they made those big moves, and they deserve the credit.
Which is why many of us hope and expect they might do the same this year.
Yeah.
Do up and get a quarterback in the first round. Yeah. I hope they do.
They might.
Might not have the ammunition to do it, but I hope they do.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, they may – but they also got to have a plan to pick 12.
Oh, they will, yeah.
They got to have a plan to pick 12, pick 22, pick 53, pick 56. They got a lot of picks.
Yeah.
And there are going to be some good players available at those. And there's going to be players that are going to fill the holes around the roster that we've all seen, you know, the middle linebacker and a defensive pass rusher, even more of those guys. Another wide receiver, maybe, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be fun. So if they – it may be just as fun – it'll be more intriguing if they don't move up, don't get one of those quarterbacks, and have to and fill that roster and go out there with the guys they got.
I don't know if it's going to be more intriguing.
I don't know.
Well, I think it'll be more fun to roll the dice on a quarterback.
I don't want to roll the dice anymore.
We got 2 weeks to discuss that.
I am so done with rolling the dice.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to hear from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, a news conference with the entire Buffalo media crew that's over in the media room right now. And then after that, Sean McDermott joins us in studio. We're coming back in a moment. Like to get more of your calls, more of your thoughts. Are you confident in the way the Bills are building this roster as they assemble this team for their offseason conditioning work? Plus, is there a change coming on kickoffs and in punts? Steve might have a role to play in that. We'll talk about that when we come back. The John Murphy Show is presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show. This is Steve Tasker. I'm co-hosting with Murph today. He's sitting right beside me. One of the reasons I'm in this week is we're kind of building up slowly towards One Bills Live, the next show we begin next week, Murph and I, together forever. But today –
Who said anything about forever?
Today
– I didn't sign anything about forever.
Something's happened in the last couple of weeks that I'm going to be a part of, and Murph teased it right before we went to break. It's the modern evolution of kickoff and punt. The league is starting to think about what kickoffs and what can replace a kickoff in a football game, which means after a team scores a field goal or a touchdown and an extra point and they're going to kick the ball off again, what they can insert into the game to replace kickoff, because their statistics have shown that it's the most guys get injured in that play more often than any other play. Actually, it's kickoff return team that actually gets more of the – injuries than any other part of the game, and they're trying to do something to alleviate that. Now,
we were looking at some numbers that said concussion rates remain the highest on kickoffs and kickoff returns.
Right.
That's what's got their attention.
Right, and you go all the way back to 1974, they started moving around. They wanted to get more kickoff returns. They moved the kickoff. Back in the 1974, they kicked off from the 40-yard line.
They wanted more kickoffs.
Right, so they moved it to the 35-yard line. And then in 70, then also in 74, they couldn't. The punt team could not leave the line of scrimmage until the ball was kicked. So that would that promoted more punt returns. And then in 94, 20 years later, and this is during my career, they moved the kickoffs back to the 30-yard line. And that got 88% kicks were returned. 88% of the kicks were returned after 1994. Then in 2009, they outlawed. This is when things kind of shifted. In 2009, they banned the wedge. They could no longer get return team, go back there, big four offensive linemen, get arm to arm and start running towards you. Now you can't get more than two. Wedges of three players or more are banned. And then in 2011, they moved the kicks back to the 35-yard line from the 30, and that reduced the return rate down to 53%. So it's kind of a coin flip as to whether people were going to return the ball or not after they moved the ball back to the 35-yard line. And then last year they moved the touchback, of course. If it was a touchback into the end zone, teams got the ball to 25. And last year, 2016 and 2017, for the first time in history, the average starting point if for a touchback, which was the 25-yard line, was better than the average starting point for teams that returned the football. It was like at the 24, 23-yard line for teams that returned it. So the touchback became a better option for everybody.
You've been summoned by the NFL, along with a group of people, right, to come down in a couple of weeks and discuss where to go with
10 special teams coaches and a bunch of old guys like me. I don't know who they are. I haven't met them yet. But a bunch of special teams, like Darren Simmons from Cincinnati is going to be there. I know him. You know, a couple, bunch of other guys. Bobby April's going to be there. What they can do to replace kickoffs in a football game. And, you know, the adage is, you know, there's so much about it. There are three, and I can go on a little bit about this, but there are three aspects to kickoffs that are, and all special teams plays. One, it's field position. It's all dictated by the length of the kick and the ability of your team to return. Two, it's change of possession. It's the only play in football, a punt or a kickoff, where you deliberately give the ball to your opponent. And that's the second thing. And the third thing, of course, is field goal and extra point. It's a direct try for points. You're going to get some points on that. So, and plus, for never mind about returning one for a kickoff or anything like that, but that could happen on any offensive or defensive play as well. So, but with a field goal and extra point, the score is probably going to change or could change on that very play. So those three things, the field position, the change of possession, and the points, make it a unique kicking play. Now, kickoffs have gotten to the point where the players are so fast, and you've got a return team that drops back, turns around, and starts forward, taking on players that are got a 60-yard running start, and nobody's trying to avoid the contact. So you're getting a lot of concussive injuries. There's a lot of physics at work there, and they're going to change it. And they're going to take kickoffs and change them drastically, if not get rid of them. So
this year?
Well, maybe not this year, but they may try some things this year. I don't know what that's going to be. But I think one thing is it's kind of fun to think about. We can create a football play, the formation, the rules, everything from scratch, and put it in at the end of a drive after a field goal or an extra point and say, okay, here's what's going to happen next, and here's what it's going to look like, and here's what the rules are going to be, and it's going to look maybe something like a kickoff and maybe something completely different than a kickoff. Or kickoffs are just going to go away, and it's going to be the offense just walks back out on the field, starts taking snaps at the 25, and kickoffs will go away forever.
Look, I get the idea you want to be safe, you want to prevent concussions. They have the numbers to show that concussions occur at a higher rate on kickoffs and punt returns. But I think a kickoff return and a punt return are attractive, fun plays. I think you'll be diminishing some of the attraction of the game to people.
That's the challenge, is to give them something that's just as exciting and just as fun, but different. And a lot of people, and you think about it, if you take kickoffs out, that means you can't ever do an onside kick.
Yeah.
So what happens if you're behind and you score and you need to get the ball back? Then what can you do? And the proposal would be that, say, for instance, you know, Tom Brady is behind in the Super Bowl like he was in Super Bowl 52 this last summer, and he's and they get the touchdown to almost tie. They get within 1 point, and they need the ball back with 52 seconds left. Well, if you don't have a kickoff, they can't kick an onside kick. If the other team just comes out, they can just kneel down. The game is over, even though they scored. Well, under this scenario, that team that scored the touchdown, the Tom, you know, the Patriots would be say, okay, here we go. We're going to take our option. We're going to get one play, virtually like a fourth and 10 play from our own 35-yard line. If we get the 10 yards, we keep the ball first and 10 and off we go. If we don't, the other team gets the ball back and the game is over. That's the equivalent of an onside kick. And now the statistics say that it'd be fourth and 15 because teams who are fourth and 15 pick up the first down 16% of the time. And 16% of the time is exactly how often an onside kick gets recovered.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of number they're thinking about.
We had a lot to talk about on this. I'm going to take a break. I want to take a phone call on this, too. We got a caller on the line who has something to say about that. So come on back. More to talk about on this. More to talk about the Bills roster as well. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We got Steve Tasker in studio with us from now until 3. We've got Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott coming up live in a moment or two. We had a caller on the line who wants to talk about kickoffs with Steve, who's going to be attending the league meeting in a couple of weeks about kickoffs and the future of kicks and punt returns. Chuck on the line. Chuck, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Yes, I got a question. Why don't they give them like they give timeouts? Give each team 3 choices of when they want to have a kickoff. So, like, if you're down by 6 at the end of the game, you just scored. I want to pick it now to kick off, to try an onside kick. That way they're still in the game and, you're not, you still have a chance to win the game.
Does the return team get an option, too? Don't they deserve that same choice?
Right. Both get 3, like, timeouts. It's like 3... You start the game with 3 picks of your team wants to pick either to kick off.
It's not. I got to think about it more, but I kind of like that.
Yeah,
Steve.
I mean, think about the time to kick off.
Yeah, and think about the impact, right, Chuck, of the weather. Maybe you're thinking we're headed this direction. We've got the wind in our face. We don't want to kick off here. We, you know what I mean?
End of the game, you're behind. You just scored.
Yeah,
want to kick off for onside kick.
I don't mind that.
Yeah. What do you think, Chuck? What do you think about the idea of giving a team like say for instance this last year if the Bills are down and they're trying to come back in a game, giving Tyrod Taylor in the offense and a chance at a 4th and 15 play or a 4th and 10 play to stay on the field?
Well, yeah, but you still have to score. What I'm saying is you score. That way, it's still in the game. Everybody still thinks, all right, we still have that chance, the onside kick. Sure, it's not highly successful, but it's still there.
That's what I'm saying, Chuck. Instead of the onside kick, the team that just scored gets to keep the football and make the choice. They can either try a 4th and 16 play or 4th and 15 play.
That takes a little bit of the excitement of the onside kickoff, too. You got to be successful of earning it, too. You're not just handed it to you.
Yeah, I get you.
Plus, you can see a team would say, hey, we have a dynamic return guy that we'd like to get the ball in his hands. Maybe
right.
We're behind, maybe we're not. I mean, it opens up a little bit of the roster, too, right?
Yeah,
maybe you
could
keep that guy for those 3
It is intriguing. It'd be nice, too, because it wouldn't be a total departure from kickoffs. At least they'd still be in the game.
They wouldn't go away forever.
And they would probably go one of your kicks, you could either use one of your kicks right at the beginning of the game to kick it off. Or hang on to them, and what if you never use them? You know, then that could be a situation, too, where you give your opponent the ball in the 25 every kick.
You mentioned this the other day. You believe, I think, as you head to this meeting, what is it, May 2nd in New York?
May 2nd.
You believe the league is open for suggestions, that fans like
Absolutely.
Chuck should come up with plans.
Yeah, in fact, they sent us some information, and some of the things that the fans and media had, you know, they'd sent us those suggestions that they had heard and felt were viable. Some of them were presented by media and the fans, and some of them were presented by coaches. They've got a suggestion out there from the Green Bay Packers that instead of if the ball goes out of bounds, it comes out to the 35. But if it bounces and then goes out of bounds, the team gets it right there at that point where it goes out of bounds. That would make it so that your kicker doesn't worry about getting it out of bounds. He can kick it out of bounds. But if he does a bad job of it, they lose that yardage. It goes way back, and it's a penalized. But if he can bounce it and get it out of bounds, then you gain field position back. And that's the way you gain field position instead of having to go down there and tackle a guy.
There's a lot more to talk about. I want to talk more about this throughout the course of the afternoon.
No, it's endless.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about creating a play and the rules that go with it, because a kickoff – the regular rule book for a kickoff is thrown out. There's no line of scrimmage. There's like a 10-yard no man's land in there. You can create anything you want for this. This is actually the fun part about it, but the ripple effects are endless.
Like it. We'll talk more about it. We've got Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott's news conference coming up live in a moment, so come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update comes from One Bills Drive, a busy place today. We are moments away from the news conference. Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, and Sean McDermott, the Buffalo head coach, going to address the media live here at One Bills Drive. We will carry it live for you. Earlier today, the Bills signed a couple of veterans to one-year contracts. Wide receiver Jeremy Curley, who spent last season with the New York Jets, former Jets draft pick, a couple of years ago with the Niners. He caught a career-high 64 passes. They also signed defensive lineman Tenny Palapoi, who spent the last couple of years with the Chargers, Los Angeles, and San Diego. Those two added to the roster. The Bills' offseason conditioning program began today, phase one, which means they're on the field for physical rehab and conditioning work. No coaches on the field, but the players do spend time in the meeting room with their coaching staff. And the Bills reportedly are having a pre-draft visit from wide receiver DJ Moore of Maryland. That report is out there. DJ Moore coming off a season in which he caught 80 passes for 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Around the NFL, the Denver Broncos are releasing running back C.J. Anderson, informed of his release before a team meeting today, according to ESPN, going into his sixth season in the NFL. Linebacker James Harrison, who turns 40 years old in a couple of weeks, has decided to retire from the NFL after 15 seasons. Elsewhere, Rob Gronkowski will not attend the start of the Patriots offseason program, according to a source. Still considering whether to play in the upcoming season, he does say he has had good communication with the Patriots. Gronkowski had a $250,000 workout bonus in his contract for the upcoming season. And after postponements the last few days, the Buffalo Bisons try again tonight as they try to continue their homestand. The Louisville Bats are in town tonight, 6:05 first pitch at the downtown Buffalo ballpark. Right-hander Joe Biagini on the mound for the Herd. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. It feels busy out here, doesn't it, Steve Tasker? Players on the field, that always makes you feel like there's stuff going on.
Yeah, players on the field, coaches, running them through their paces. There's always activity when the players come back because it makes you feel like something's going on. Something's, on the verge of going down. It's always exciting to see those guys come in because they're the heartbeat of the entire organization. And it's, when they show up, it beats a little stronger, obviously. It's pretty fun to see them. And I think – I was just thinking about this when we were talking about this, and I'll probably shut up here in a second when they actually tell us those guys are starting. But it's really cool, I think, for the coaching staff to get back. The coaches never leave. They're a 9-to-5 or 6-to-6 or whatever their unbelievable hours they put in at different times of the year. It's good for them to get back in and start looking at these guys because it's a refresher and either a confirmation or casting doubt when they see these guys show up and they're like, wow, you remember Carlos Williams, the running back a few years ago who showed up and was 50 pounds overweight. Yeah. Stuff, and then you see other guys show up and they go, wow, he's really working hard. And wow, this guy's, and to see him and to touch base with those players like that again on a lot of different levels, I think it's fun for the coaching staff to finally get to play or coach football again.
Got this update to our headlines a moment ago. The Bison game tonight postponed, of course, by weather. Why wouldn't it be? They have one game tomorrow, 6:05, and a noon game on Wednesday. The weather's been absolutely brutal, Steve.
Bro.
It's been awful.
Listen, I'm a Buffalo guy. So are you. I mean, we're kind of lifers here. You got to embrace it. We're here in Buffalo. We get it. The punchline of a Buffalo joke is always something to do with the weather. And but you know what? For all of us, we're like, you know, our happiness isn't tied to the weather. We got stuff going. It's a great place to live.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, it's being tested this year, is it not? Oh, my gosh.
It's terrible.
It's awful out. It's been awful for a month and a half. Usually we get some roller coaster days, right?
Right.
We're 68 and yeah. sunny. You know, you go out and hit it, you know, play golf, whatever, and then maybe it'll get colder again, but then it'll come back up. You get a 65-degree day, you know. We haven't had any of that.
No. We haven't had sunshine in a month, it
it's like,
seems like.
Yeah, for those of you who know the television show Game of Thrones, it's like we moved north of the wall.
I don't know that, but I like
yeah.
that.
It's like we're north of the Arctic Circle all the way. We're gonna be doing reality TV shows here in Buffalo pretty soon.
We await the start of the news conference. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott will take to the podium. I'm not sure what is going to be said. I know Bean will be asked to kind of forecast and preview the draft, which is now about a week and a half away. McDermott, I'm sure, will get plenty of questions about the off-season conditioning program, maybe about how he likes his roster now. I'm sure they're going to get questions about Richie Incognito, who sent out more sort of cryptic comments on Twitter. I don't know where his future lies. You know, the Bills put him on the reserve retired list last Thursday, Steve, and they may just decide that that's the place for him right now and for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of what happened to Eric Wood. I think he probably wanted to retire and kind of feels like he's done, but he decided when he made that decision, he didn't realize that it meant he had some contract problems that, you know, either paying some money back in the signing bonus or whatever, and roster problems are only the beginning of the problem for the Bills. So, so he probably had to backtrack a little bit to make sure he did it in the time frame of the calendar of the league year before he retired.
Let me repeat what I said last week when this first came out. I hope Richie's okay. I want him to be okay, you know, and you know, I do. I mean, I want him to be okay. He plays here or not is almost secondary.
Murph, let me tell you something. I'm sure I don't know Richie's that good, but let me tell you something. If the problem with today is we have so much access, and players feel so free to share stuff through Twitter and social media, Facebook, Instagram, and what have you. We are so privy to so much more of what goes on in a player's life than
right.
we were in the days of when I played. Of course, when a guy considers retirement, a lot of guys do that after 4 or 5 years in the league because it gets brutal and gets difficult to prepare. So they have this conversation. Some of these guys put it out. They tweet it out there, and all of a sudden it's a real story. Well, and the next day they think, you know what? I feel actually, you know what? I can't wait to get back. You ride that roller coaster as a player. And now in the media and with Twitter and Facebook and all the things, we're privy to their thought process sometimes. Like Gronkowski. I'm telling you what, right now, in my opinion, there's a absolutely zero chance Rob Gronkowski does not play football this year.
Zero.
Absolutely zero. I could be completely wrong. He could be really serious about it. But I'm telling you what, I know what an offseason can do for a guy who's been through some really rough injuries like Rob has, been through some up and down years, coming off a devastating loss in a Super Bowl. I know how deep you can go and how down you can get. He'll bounce back. He'll bounce back. And all the stuff going back in and going back to that grist mill in New England and working hard and grinding it out every day, it just doesn't sound fun right here in April.
Yeah. You know who else is not expected to attend for the Patriots? Offseason work and conditioning the first couple of days. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's on a business trip to Qatar. In other years, Brady's been a regular participant at their offseason program, but he will miss the beginning this year.
He's going to the Middle East.
Yeah. Gronkowski has a $250,000 bonus in his contract if he attends 90% of the voluntary workouts. I would imagine he knows exactly how many 90% constitutes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He knows exactly
he
what 90% equals.
1 p.m. on a certain
yeah.
day, halfway through one of the
yeah.
days. To get 90. Yeah. And listen, you think he's not contemplating retirement. And he's 41.
Brady, yeah.
Yeah. So, it crosses a lot of guys' minds, like Kyle Williams. You know, he decided he wants to give it another try. I applaud them because you have to have that conversation to make sure you have what it takes to dig deep and come back and do it, because it's a long 6 months.
We were walking around, you and I, during the off-season workouts today. You told me kind of a funny story about the way your Bills handled it 25-some years ago. The off-season program begins, and you got your work done early, right?
Well, a lot of us lived here. Everybody was making enough money at that point because it wasn't always the case. I got my career started at the time when guys actually could be pro athletes. They didn't have to get a second job in the off season to do it. So I was making enough money, and everybody else was, that we could be pro athletes and train in the off season. So but we had to live here, and we would come here to the stadium every day, work out, and get better.
Why'd
that
you
way.
Have to live here?
Free work. We had free membership to the gym.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we could come in and we get coached. They'd yeah. have a program plus a little job security. And if the coaches see you in there, they know, and the coach there on their staff is watching us and giving us our program. And Rusty Jones.
There were no restrictions.
No, there's no restrictions. So we did it. And as a result of that, when the off-season mini camps like today came about for them back then, we all got our testing and all the other stuff done beforehand, a couple of days beforehand, so that they could move more quickly through the guys who didn't live here. And during the morning that we did it, me and Daryl Talley and Pete Metzlars and Stan Gelbo went and played golf in the morning, the first morning of it. While everybody else was getting their physical test. Everybody else was cleared out too, all the local guys. And there was another foursome behind us anyway. But, you know, so everybody, the out-of-towners were, you know, over here just standing around getting measured. And we were out playing golf. And I hit my first and only home hole-in-one on that day.
During the off-season workout.
It was a different world.
It was a different world.
That's great.
And were you guys overworked? I mean, there were no restrictions, CBA restrictions, on how much time you could spend here, how much time you could spend with the coaching staff, right?
No.
There were no rules.
No, there weren't any rules, but we lived here. And so there weren't enough guys. Like, we couldn't go out and have seven-on-sevens. You know, we couldn't go out and work out and do team stuff. I mean, there just wasn't enough guys like that here, because a lot of guys went out and, you know, lived in Texas and Illinois and California and all the other places they lived. And so we just came in and lived and worked out. And it wasn't even structured, although when they started having running, you know, they'd say, hey, we're getting a group together. We're going to run at 7. We're going to have a group run at 9 or whatever, and you could pick. So, you know, we did it that way.
It was a different age. You're right. All right, yeah. The new age is here, and the GM and the coach are here. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean at the podium right now for today's news conference. Let's listen in.
All right, let's go. Well, let's get this thing rolling here. Good to see everyone.
Richie and his situation.
You know, not going to really get into detail. It's just Richie's on the reserve retired list, which is not a part of our 90-man roster, and that's, you know, that's really where we're at.
Can you just, as a player, any player, not just Richie, but if someone's on the reserve list and they decide they want to come back to football, what is that process like?
They have to request through the commissioner to be reinstated. You know, it's kind of like the Anquan Boldin thing, if you guys remember. He was on the reserve retired list. So, yeah, he would have to be reinstated.
He said he contacted you and Sean and Terry to talk about his retirement. That's fair. And what do you make of, I mean, just the tweets and the social media stuff that's come out?
I don't think it's really the time to get into it. It's just, let's leave it as is. And really, Sean and I'd like to focus on, A, you know, any draft questions you got or the players that are here on the 90-man.
Since we're talking about news, Sean, can you at least tell me what your message was to this team? I remember late last year, when it just been shortly after the regular season, you had discussed about, you know, there's a lot of holes that need to be filled here, that you guys were by no means there, so to speak.
Yeah, I think really the biggest thing we tried to cover was, other than normal logistics and whatnot, the first day was just really the reality of our situation is such that eight of the 12 teams that made the playoffs in 2016 didn't make the playoffs in 2017. And so we have to turn the page from what happened last year and understand that this is a new team. It's a new year, new personalities, and so we've got our work cut out for us, really, and we've got a long way to go. That really hasn't changed. We're excited about, you know, the guys that we've added to the roster and the work that apparently has been put in since the players have left us X amount of months ago. But really, we've got to earn the right, and that starts really today.
And there's also a new set of, you know, I don't know if you want to say problems or holes or whatever, because you've had some players leave that maybe weren't as expected when you ended last season. And, you know, we're talking about, obviously, Richie, Eric Wood, you know, you made a trade quarterback. So there's there's a different set of circumstances than when you walked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every year is different in the NFL. That's our league, right? It's every team is different, so you really got to start over day one, and that's what we're here to do today. Our players, worked extremely hard, it appeared, and in and out of the meeting rooms, and the coaches were prepared, and the staff was ready to go, all the way up and down the board. So, my hat goes off to the team here, and that just is not just the players and the coaches, but everyone in this building that was ready to go from the first minute that the players walked in the door this morning.
Brandon, how often do your draft board set pretty much at this point? And how much wiggle room is there between now and then? And in particular, the quarterbacks, when you're looking at ranking them?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't finalized every position, but we're pretty close. I mean, we have it down to some clumps. You know, maybe you got, several DBs in the third round. I'm just making this up, but that were okay. If you got into the third round and you got these three corners and they're all close, now anybody like that, we're just kind of going back watching film. If they were all three there and they were the best players on the board, which one would you go first? Which one would you go second? Which one would you go third? So we've got them close to where their final resting place will be, so to speak, but that's kind of what we're doing now. Scouts are here, and we're basically just going around and trying to settle some arguments in the room of how each of us sees guys. But
and quarterback holds true to what you're talking about, quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty close there, but nothing's finalized at this point.
How important is it to get a franchise quarterback on this roster?
I'm sorry, what did you
say? How important is it to get a franchise quarterback now?
You got to have a franchise quarterback. You that's one of the main jobs of a GM is to find a franchise quarterback. It's quarterback league. I'll say it every single time. You have to have one.
How often do you feel that question?
What's that?
How often do you feel the question?
Probably until we
are you drafting a quarterback with the first pick and who's it going to be? How often do you feel that?
Well, when I go home every day.
Did I hear you say Wegmans? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I mean, that's why you love this fan base, is the passion. And I get it. I respect it. Some of the conversations, some of the comments, they're not even necessarily asking for my opinion. They're just giving me theirs. I'm sure – I know Sean gets it. Boyko gets it, and he's a PR guy. Everybody gets it, and I like that. People care. That's all you can ask for. And I get the question. It's fair. And until we can stand up here and say it's somebody that we currently have on our roster or somebody who's not on our roster, we're going to get that question, and that's fair.
So could you deem this draft a success if you did not come out with a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
Why?
You know, there's a lot of good players in this draft. And that was the big thing of moving from 21 to 12. The natural assumption, I get it, is they're moving up to get a quarterback, yada, yada, yada. No, we improved our draft position. That was a second-round value jump to go from 21 to 12. We're excited about where that moves us, you know, on our draft board, the players that we see would be available there.
Brandon and Sean, given what's happened on your offensive line, with you've lost three really good players, two by retirement and the trade to Cordy, did that, what's happened the last 2 months at that position, alter any of the thinking as you go into the draft? I mean, I'm guessing in January you weren't thinking you'd have to replace three starting offensive linemen. Has that changed anything in regards to your draft strategy?
Not to our draft strategy, no. I mean, there's all sorts of surprises that happen. I can't say that Sean or I had an idea that, those three changes would all happen when we walked off the field in Jacksonville. But you're constantly having to adapt and adjust. I kind of categorize it maybe crazy, like, okay, we lost that player. He's down. It's like a guy going down for injury. What's our next best avenue? Who's out there? You can't help it. And, we're always going to continue to try and fill those roles. We tried to do some things in the draft. We brought in Marshall Newhouse and Russell Bodine. So we did fill a couple of those. And then we got some guys on the roster that we're happy with, and we got the draft. And I think I mentioned this before. There will be guys that will come after the draft. Teams will draft players and say, you know what, I feel better about this position. I'm going to go with this young guy, and I'm going to let a veteran go. So we don't play meaningful football until September, and that's our job, is to make sure we have the best 53-man roster after the last preseason game.
When it comes to a guy like Josh Allen specifically, but even players like him, when you look at completion percentage, but you compare it to the guys he had around him, how do you weigh that? You know, you want to make sure you get it right, but he wasn't at the same level, so necessarily wasn't thrown to the right talent, things like that. Just kind of how do you weigh that, particularly the numbers and things like that, with the talent around him?
Yeah, I don't want to get into specifics about each person because I think that's a dangerous road. But to your point, there's a lot that goes into evaluating college quarterbacks. It is a much harder job than evaluating pro quarterbacks. With the systems, the talent level, you know, you got some teams that are all spread. Some conferences play great defense, some don't. You got all sorts of things that you have to weigh in there, and those are all part of it, but there's no one factor or anything like that's more important necessarily.
Last year, Sean spoke often about, you know, the big picture. It was often about, you know, building the right way. It was a general thing, not necessarily looking at the record. Do you subscribe to the idea that sometimes perhaps you might have to take a step back in order to move forward, or is this like a constant? It doesn't seem like it's always a straight linear line up the hill, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you'd love it for it to be that, but it doesn't always happen that way. I mean, the thing we're trying to do, we're trying to, you know, get better every year. We're trying to, you know, we had 9 wins this year. We're trying to get more, but it doesn't always happen for various reasons. It's a competitive league. Sean said it earlier. This is a new team. We're 0-0. We haven't had the draft yet. We got 9 picks, which I'm excited about. I think he is, or at least hopefully he's still excited after the draft. But that's kind of our mindset, is just we're always looking to get the right type of fit. You know, nothing's changed from even before I got here to what Sean said. That's where we're so aligned. And we want talented players, but it's got to be a fit for the team. And that still holds true as we sit here today.
Sean, what about your voice when it comes to this defense, which – needs a lot of work and a lot of improvement. How much is that being heard, or at least you're voicing it in these pre-draft meetings about the need to fix a lot of those defensive spots?
Well, I think we've added some players along the defensive side of the ball, Star, to name one, and then the other guys we've added as well. I mean, you look at our cornerback situation, what it was versus what it is now, what it was before free agency versus what it is now, even before Vontae and everything. So, you know, we've added some pieces. We've certainly lost some pieces, too. That's natural in this league, as I mentioned earlier. You know, Brandon and his staff have done a really good job of staying on top of who's available out there. We added Tenney just today or the end of the weekend last week. And, you know, we're always looking to improve our roster every way we can. And that's the great part about Brandon. He knows it's not where it needs to be. He knows he's always trying to find a way to improve it, he and his staff. And I think they've done a phenomenal job to this point. You know, our defensive staff, I really like the work that they put in this offseason. And also the offensive staff and special teams. The coaches have been hard at work finding out and building on what worked and what didn't work. And then trying to improve what we're doing systematically and schematically as well.
So are you satisfied that free agency has addressed enough of those needs that, I'm not saying you're not going to draft defensive players, but that it's less of a priority in your mind?
Well, I don't think we look at it that way. I think we look at it as just adding players that can help our football team in different ways, and certain guys will hold different roles, and those roles will become defined as we move forward at the right time. Right now it's about these guys competing and competing at a high level with one another. It's not about other teams. It's about us getting better in our building every day. And the work that our players, our coaching staff, our strength staff, our medical staff, our equipment staff, the work that those guys have put in to prepare ourselves for today – Again, I can't say how much I appreciate it, how much we appreciate it, and it's going to position us to put the work in moving forward at the same time. So we've got a lot of work to do. This is a process, as you've heard me say before. We started a year ago or just over a year ago, and you saw us build a team. We're back in the market of building the team again. And certainly, Vic, we want to continue to add talent. So I'm not one that's going to turn down good football players.
Are you satisfied with Zay Jones' situation? I'm sure you've talked to him. Are you satisfied with where that sits right now? I think both of you could answer that.
Yeah, we did have some communication with Zay when we got back, and to this point, we are satisfied with where that is. You know, the biggest thing right now is where we go moving forward and how we handle our business moving forward. You know, people go through situations, and like I said before, I was disappointed. The biggest thing was we were able to talk about it and come to a point where we all agree we need to move forward, and I'm excited about the future for Zay.
How much do you, Brandon, how much do you and your staff do, like, mock draft exercises, essentially, you know, yep. Different scenarios that you run through?
Yeah, we do that, and what we'll try to do, that'll probably be Monday before the draft next week. We'll sit there and just go through it, and that'll be each of them's job to throw up scenarios that are legit or real. And we'll debate them in the room, which way you go. And we'll actually do some actual mocks. I'll assign some guys, hey, you're the Browns, you're the Giants, you're the Jets, you know, down the line, who would you choose based on their needs and, you know, what you're hearing out there as the chatter, so to speak, just to basically give yourself those scenarios. And we'll do that through the first couple rounds, you know, so 12, 22, 53, 56.
You said you're close on the quarterback. Could you elaborate? Does that mean you're close to one, separating one guy out?
No, I think just ordering them. Like when I say close, I'm saying ordering them how we would select them if all of them were there. You know, if we were the Cleveland Browns at one, what the order would be.
Yeah, you know, Jeremy, we were able to add Jeremy over the weekend. He came in and worked out Friday, I believe it was, Thursday maybe. So did a good job, and we were able to add him. And, you know, he's a guy that I've gone up against in terms of coaching against him. I know what he brought to the table. From a wide receiver position, he's a veteran player. Also had some return ability, so I thought it was a good signing for us. And again, my hat goes off to Brandon and his staff identifying Jeremy out there. And then Kelvin, yeah, he came in and looks like he's ready to go. You know, like the rest of our offensive players, you know, getting familiar with the new scheme, the new system, and so that was excited. That was good to see today as we move forward as an offense too. I'm sorry.
Is Zay 100% or is he still working?
Not quite 100%, but he's working like some of the other players. We do have some guys that are still working, rehabbing, Zay being one of them.
And for Brandon, specific to Kelvin, what sort of discussions have there been as far as a new contract with him?
Well, you know, we really don't get into discussions or anything like that. Right now we're just, you know, happy he's here and showed up and was out there working with everybody else. So that's really where it's at. The focus right now is on the draft.
Process for actually making a trade on draft day? Do you have certain teams on speed dial? Is it a text message, phone call to other GMs? What would you actually do to trade up?
It varies. You know, if I have a really good relationship with the GM or somebody high up there, I may text or call them directly. If Sean does, or if Joe Shane, or, you know, Terrence Gray, one of the guys that's done a lot of the work and the leadership in the room, you know, if he's really, hey, check with him, tell him we're interested in this, or see if they're interested in that. That's generally how it would start. And then if it leads to, hey, there is an interest, then I would get on with the GM.
All right, if you go through, Brandon, this is your first draft. Are there anxious moments? It's like I have this vision of like a boxer, you know, he's inching towards the fight day. And I don't know if you lost sleep, if you I'm sure you played a million different scenarios in your head, and all it takes is one trade or something to blow the whole thing to smithereens anyway. But
yeah, no, you're spot on. You think about it all the time, even when you don't want to think about it, because we're competitors, and you know you want to win every pick. You know what I mean? You want to feel like, man, we got a steal in the first round. We got to, you know, that's natural. Can't say it always happens that way, but yeah, there's different things that have been in my head. I'm sure he has probably the same thing in his head. Guys that he's looked at that go, man, that guy would be a great fit for us. And
he's
and
gone through it.
Yeah.
You know, your situation, this is your first time, really.
Yeah. As the head guy. No, you're right. Spot on. That's very accurate. Until it gets here, it's you're right. All you can do is be anxious, do the work. I feel good about the work, and that if you do the work, generally it should fall in place.
How much fun is that for you, though? Like, you know, I think there's a million armchair people out there that say, man, if I was running that draft, here's what I would do.
Yeah.
Would you actually get to be that guy to do that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a competitor. I love it. I love my job. I love everything about it. This is huge. This is where my staff and I show that we've done the work and we're competent people. And my job at the end of the day is to give this guy the resources to lead the team and his coaches to produce on the field. And if I do my job, it helps him do his. If I don't, that's what I lose sleep. I feel like I let him down.
Sean, knowing how critical continuity is to an offensive line, just given a situation where there is a lot of people, how are you at this stage of the offseason sort of plotting for that? Conversations you've had with Brian, with Juan, and the approach, knowing that it's a very different set of circumstances than
yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for continuity. I just know, and you've been around this league a long time, that's hard to say every year at every position. It just so happens we've had some guys come and go at the offensive line position, to name one. That said, you mentioned one of them, Ryan Groy. The leadership he has shown, and we haven't been together, you know, very long now. It's been a day. But even previous to today, the leadership he's shown, the leadership Jordan Mills has shown, and Deion Dawkins, even for a young guy, these guys are stepping up, and that's what you want to see. They understand what's at stake. They understand there's an opportunity as well for them to step up and increase their leadership influence, and I've been nothing but impressed with the way they've handled things.
Brandon, how do you take into account, just the wild speculation and how it changes from week to week, maybe even day to day? One day you're trading with the Giants to lock. Next day you're trading into sixth spot. I mean, one day you're picking this guy, like one guy that. Have you paid attention at all to some of the speculation, the wild speculation that's been out there, and what do you make of it?
I mean, that's a fair question, John, but you can't. I mean, there's so much chatter out there. If you pay attention to it, the last thing I want to do is be swayed by anything from the outside, and. I get it. Fair question, but no, I don't listen to it.
Hey Brandon, in terms of finding a middle linebacker in this particular class, have you found it? It might not be a great draft for that specific position. You have that need, it looks like, on your roster.
Yeah.
As you look at the draft class, is that going to be a tough one to fill, maybe?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question without giving up competitively. What I think of that position group in the draft, but we do understand, we do realize that Preston was our starter all year and is not here, and you know, I get it. You know, you'd love to come out of here with a guy you felt good with that could do that, but even if we don't, I mentioned it earlier, we don't play meaningful football until September, we'll find an answer.
Brandon, how much sleep do you lose when you hear people say this would be the Bills' most important draft since they took Jim Kelly?
I hadn't heard that till you just said it. But.
I just made it up. Okay. You made it up.
All right. Well,
that's on the record, right? You made that question.
So, thanks. I won't be sleeping for the next 10 days, Jerry. No, I mean, listen, every draft, I take this as no different. I get it. I really do. But we're at 12, and I don't know what's going to be there at 12. I don't know what quarterback will be there. I don't know if we're going up or going down. And that's really how it is as I sit here. I know everybody, as soon as we're trading up, first of all, I said it before, even if I wanted to trade up right now, even if I said, I know the guy I want to get and I need to get to this spot, it takes a partner to do it and be willing to move out. And so, again, I think I'll lose sleep every year going into the draft because you're always going to have holes. You're always going to want to make your roster more competitive and better. And that's the thing. We want to find the best football players that we can to help us in 2018 and beyond. And that's the vision.
When it comes to draft day, your board's set, you can probably know X amount of guys that you would be willing to move up for. How tight do you keep the circle in terms of people who know how you actually feel about the quarterbacks? I mean, do you tell friends? Do you tell your wife? I mean, or is it really, like, how tight is that circle?
It doesn't leave this building. So, no, my wife doesn't know. But no, it's very tight. I'm not talking about guys in the second round either, or the third round, or whoever of any position. Like, I think it's bad form. I think you're competitively hurting yourself. Anything that you could do to competitively hurt yourself is bad. So we keep it pretty close to the vest what we're doing.
Sean, what two should we call?
In terms of the draft, or
yeah, in terms of the draft.
Well, you know, I just think that you know, we learned a lot last year. I thought we came out with you know, some good players, and I don't know if it's as much the biggest thing I learned, but probably the biggest thing that was affirmed or verified for me was, you know, that you want to find guys that are good off the field and on the field. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of good players out there that, you know, don't have maybe some, you know, their act together off the field, and you're tempted to take those players. And, you know, so, and, you know, so I was reminded of how important that is as we went through our process last year.
Brandon, have you met privately with all the quarterbacks on your radar, and how have those meetings shifted maybe things on your board?
It's part of the process. Yes, we have met with them all. At this point, we know them pretty well. And as I was alluding to back in Senior Bowl and Combine, that was a big part of the process. And, you know, all I really would say is that they're all great young men, and there's a reason they're all being talked about.
When do the conversations begin about trading? Is it really something as early as Combine or owners' meetings, or really is that something that just doesn't start happening maybe till the week of, or even maybe 24 hours before the draft?
You know, it happens all over the place. I would say most of it happens close to the draft, but, you know, the Colts and Jets worked something out weeks ago, and so I think that was before the owners' meetings. I would say that doesn't happen very often, but it did. Most of it, I would say, happens closer.
I guess, you know, alluding to Jerry's question, how much pressure is there given that you don't always have six picks in the first three rounds? You're not always looking at a quarterback class like this one, so how much does that kind of add to the pressure of finding that guy in this draft?
You know, I don't really, again, Bucky said it earlier, it's my first one going through it, so I can't compare it to another year as the GM. But I think I'll feel this way in a year from now, you know, no matter what we're after or what our so-called needs are. I just feel like the competitive nature, you want to get it right. I know the work's been done by our whole staff, and that's coaches included. A lot of these coaches have gone on the road that we've identified as guys, hey, go find out a little bit more about this guy. How does he learn best? Does he fit what you do? Can he learn our system? And you think he's going to fit in your position meeting room? Again, I think we've almost finished all those, which helps. But it's a total team effort. And Sean and I aren't sitting up here pointing out all the answers. We don't get to the answers without all that work. And I think it'll be – we're competitors, and I think I'll be anxious every year until draft day. But, yeah, we do our job, do it right, it should unfold the way we want.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Randy Bean, Sean McDermott, Bills GM, Bills coach, 25, 30 minutes of their thoughts on the draft, on the team. I like the way Brandon just wrapped that up too, Steve. Confidence. Look, we don't know how it's going to wrap up, but right. we have a good feeling that when it's over, we'll like the way we sit. I think that's the right way to do it. There's no guarantees here.
Absolutely. They're going to start doing their own mock drafts on Monday with scouts and stuff, and it's interesting. You know, and they run through it. You got guys in the – in the building that are experts on some of the other teams in the draft. They watch them. They, you know, all the pro personnel guys watch there, and they listen to chatter and read some, you know, read things and listen to guys like us and the writers like this and all the websites. And they say, okay, I think, and they act as general manager for the other teams. And they sit in the room and say, you're picking him. Or I'm going to pick this guy. I'm going to pick that guy. And then they go. The big wild card is, though, if a trade happens above you or below you, everything changes.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about the draft, more about the team. Sean McDermott headed down here to spend a few minutes with us on the studio, on the set, in the studio. So come on back for that. And we're going to get back to your phone calls, your assessment of where this Bills roster is right now. Come on back. The John Murphy Show with Steve Tasker. We're presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker in studio with us today. Our new show begins next week, week from today. One Bills Live here from One Bills Drive. Steve and I will be on the air every day, noon to 3. Steve filling in today, and what, tomorrow and Friday you're with us this week? Is that what it looks
like? Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Friday this week.
Okay.
They switched it up on me. I was going to do it like a college class, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Switch it up.
3-hour session?
Yeah.
And Chris Brown will be filling in a couple of days, and then One Bills Live starts next Monday. If you just joined us, you missed Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, Bills coach, general manager, speaking to the media. A couple of notes from that we want to talk about. McDermott on his way over here. We're going to get the head coach of the Bills in studio with us in just a minute. So we'll take a break here. We'll come back, and Sean McDermott will be with us live. Come on back. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with more John Murphy, Steve Tasker co-hosting today and joining us in studio. Happy to have the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, in studio with us. Coach, good to see you. How have you been?
I've been great. And yourself?
I've been okay. It's been a while since we've talked.
I know, it has. It's good to be back on with you guys and
so what do you got
see
going
this
on?
Guy
Is
here.
Is there anything going on at all? You've been busy
no,
at all?
No, pretty,
just hanging
pretty
out,
quiet.
Off-season
yeah,
quiet.
Been, yep, been just working working in the community, yeah. You know.
I could tell from the start of that news conference a couple of months ago how really genuinely excited you were about having your players back. It makes a difference.
I'm fired
it?
Up. Yeah, it's good to see them and get caught up on life and, you know, and then to see – you know, who's put the work in, and most of them have been working, and to see them interact with one another again and just, you know, kind of joke around and really start building our team again. It was a lot of fun today.
How many guys have you got actually on the roster? How many do you have? You have to keep, like, I don't know how many draft picks you got. You have to keep those slots open?
We do. Yeah, I mean, it's a 90 total. Yeah, 90 total. I couldn't even tell you right now what the exact number is. We just added two more over the weekend here with Tenney and Jeremy there, so...
will you go up to 90 and then back and then cut a couple of guys before the draft?
It always varies because we want to find the right 90, right? So some teams will just add 90 just to get to the magic number of 90. Steve, what we'll do is Brandon and I will just – if we don't think anyone else is worthy of being on the 90, then we'll just stop at, you know, 87, 88 until two apples fall off the tree that are worthy to be added. We'll stay where we are.
We were talking to Lorenzo Alexander about this last week. He comes back for a second year with you and your staff. It's got to be an entirely different atmosphere than where you were a year ago when guys are walking around with, hello, my name is tags on, you know, and you're introducing yourself. You get guys coming back who know what your expectations were, know where the, you know, the baseline is for the work that's involved and the work that's expected. It's got to make a huge difference.
It does. And those are the guys I'm really banking on, leaning on to take great ownership of who we are this year and what we're all about. I mean, we're not going to change what we did last year in terms of things that are important to us. We're going to double down, in fact, on those areas, and those guys will take the lead on that because they're the leaders. And I think the player-driven leadership is important in our locker room.
Yeah, before we go on to the next, what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, I wanted to ask you, what do you find out about these? Because I was telling Murph how it reminded me watching those guys work out how much I hated minicamp. It's like, come on.
What type of attitude
right.
is that?
Huh? I'm totally not a leader. So what do you find out about these guys? Because you said yourself, I mean, this is a chance. Some of these guys are going to be here for a couple of weeks, and then you're going to say, you know what, thanks for stopping by. You know, you find out everything you can find out on these guys, but you're limited, right? And
right.
as to what you can do with them
right.
and all that. So what do you, you know, what are your expectations generally? I mean, certainly it's different from position to position and individual mm-hmm. player to individual player. But what, generally speaking, what do you want to know about these
guys?
I
think just certainly. Really is getting to know them and them getting to know us. That's a big part of developing trust, which is important as we move forward in these relationships. Get to know them. Right now we really can't be on the field from a coaching standpoint, albeit they can be on the field from a strength and conditioning standpoint. But other than that, we really can't get to know them on the field, which is what it is. I mean, that's the way things are. But really the most important thing is building those relationships, developing the trust, and then them learning the scheme so that they right. can go out there and play fast.
Yeah, I was out loving too because we were watching them, and certainly your strength conditioning coaches are out there and stuff. But I mean, are you just testing them? I mean, really just finding out, like you said, just, okay, he's staying in shape, or he actually looks better, or that kind of thing. You're just looking for aberrations where a guy's, like, off the charts, you've right. gained weight, or after off
yeah,
the charts.
Yeah, I think so. I think,
progress.
Yeah, we're just trying to see where people are. Eric Ciano and his staff do a great job of really putting together a solid plan for the players when they get in, and so they were just starting that plan today. They were out there stretching, going through some movement, and then they were in the weight room working. So it's some on-the-field conditioning work and then off-the-field in terms of the weight room work as well.
Coach, I want to ask you about offensive line where you've lost some players, including Incognito, who remains on reserve retired. But you're well set up there, it seems to me, with some veteran guys who have played in this league who can probably fill in some of these spots, huh?
Yeah, we've added some veteran players with Bodine and Newhouse, and then you look at Ryan Groy and what he was able to do a few years ago playing the end of the season like yeah. he did, the youth in Dion and some of those players. So, and we've got some guys that are in high competition for some spots, and it offers a great opportunity for young players to come in and help us. And it doesn't have to be young players. It can be veteran players as well, whether it's John Miller or whomever. You know, you look at Vlad and what he did last year, and so having him back another season. So, you know, these guys are going to compete, and really part of the challenge is for them to take their level of competition to a whole new level as we go through these next couple of weeks here.
How much can you find out? I know you can watch tape all day on these guys, every pro free agent you've got. I mean, you got miles of tape on them. But, for instance, how do you check out a guy like Marshall Newhouse, who is a guy who played in Oakland? Do you have network of coaches in and around the league? You call and say, tell me about this guy. You're trying to find out about him off the field as much as you are what the tape shows.
Right, Steve. It's, you know, we talk a lot in here about DNA and the fit, and that's probably where it starts is, hey, tell us about the person. What did we know about him from college? What may have changed since that point in time? Do we know anyone that's worked with him at the present or at his past team? And so then we look at the film and say, hey, does his skill set marry up to what we're trying to do in our offensive system, in this case along the offensive line? So, we try and really drill down on the person on and off the field and see if they're a fit. And you hope more times than not that you're right and the research pays off. You know, once in a while it doesn't turn out to work out, and that's why free agency is so dicey, if you will, that it's really not how we want to build our team. We really want to build our team through the draft and continue to develop those players in the draft so that we can retain those players,
right.
As opposed to them hitting the free agent market and going to play for someone else in turn. So, you know, the free agent part of the process is a piece, but it's not the entire piece for us.
One more offensive line question, and you were asked about again, did you lose Cordy Glenn, who had been a starter, but when I think back of last year, I think of Deion Dawkins as your left tackle starter, right? I mean, he's coming back.
He was. He was really our left tackle starter and did a good job
yeah.
in his first season. The challenge would be for a lot of our quote-unquote second-year sophomores, if you will, mm-hmm. to come back that had success, you know, to a point last year. Tre'Davious White, what a magnificent rookie year he had. Deion, You look at what the other young players, and Zay had a lot of playing time, had some ups and he had some downs. And Matt Milano, Nate was out there some, Tanner was out there in special teams, in a special teams capacity. So that's a big challenge to come back, stay hungry when you've experienced some success, and really try and take your game to a whole new level.
And as you said, you'd rather have draft picks, but the Bills were not shy this offseason. Brandon Bean not shy about adding veterans on the defensive side of the ball. Star Lotulelei, Trent Murphy, Vontae Davis. You've added a lot on the defensive side of the ball in free agency.
We have, and those, you know, those are good players. Trent is obviously coming off of a knee. You know, we went back and looked at where we could improve, and we felt like we needed some help up front, and Brandon and his staff did a good job of adding Star and Trent up front, and the ability to affect the quarterback and obviously stop the run as well, and then to add a corner of Vontae's ability. When we did, I thought, you know, we took advantage of a good opportunity when it presented itself, and we're not done. You know, we added Tenney over the weekend here, and he's another piece for us. So, you know, we're looking forward to adding in the future good football players through this draft, but also adding a level of competition because at the end of the day, that's what brings out the best in all of us.
Okay, so let's talk about whatever he's talking about. It's the draft. I mean, you got it coming up, and this is the, you know.
I just heard
like, you're like twitching. Are you?
Yeah.
Twitching?
Yeah. Like, I love it.
I just heard it's the biggest draft since Jim Kelly.
Listen, we right. and you guys got grilled about it in the press conference a few minutes ago, and it's true. I mean, you're living in Buffalo. So you can't go to the gas station and not have a conversation. Am I right?
That's right. Right? That's accurate. That's right.
I mean, that's everybody's in it with us. I mean, we're all in it together.
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so give us your thoughts on it. I mean,
we want to take you through a normal day in the life
right
of some dirt. And
a little bit, but I just want you to tell us a little bit. How do you handle the fact that everybody wants to know, you know, you're going to trade up from 12. You already traded up to 12. That's really, and it's awesome. You know, who do you like? Which of the quarterbacks you like better? Who's the most likely trade partner? Yada, yada. I mean, we can go on and on because Murph and I are talking about this.
These are all good questions.
Right. So how do you handle all that? Because, you know, and I know that the answer is not yet to be known.
Yeah, that's the hard part. I wish we could – I wish, you know, Brandon and I had the secret right now that, hey, this is what we've got up our sleeve. This is what we can't tell you guys yet, but we're all going to be okay. You know, and unfortunately, that's not where we are. I know we're going to be okay from a standpoint of – listen, we're either going to get, you know, we trade up and we package picks and get this. We trade down and get more picks. We stay where we are. We've got a decent amount of picks already. This is what I know, is I know that the work's been put in, and we still have work to do yet. That said, we're going to find good football players, and we have an opportunity to dramatically improve our football team, albeit it'll be with youth. That means the future of this organization will be bright if we find the right players with those picks. So there's a lot of things out there that could happen between now and when Mr. Goodell steps up to that microphone and opens up the 2018 draft, and that's the exciting part too. I know our fans are excited. I'm excited and probably won't sleep a whole lot. I know Brandon won't between now and draft day, so – I love the fact that we're in it together.
What's the biggest curveball, the biggest, you know, wild pitch that could come out of this, coming into the draft, you know? Like, what do you wish you knew that you don't now?
Well, I'd like, by the way.
I'm glad I asked that. What's the biggest thing
it's
you wish you
being
knew?
Being modest and humble, right?
What's the biggest thing you know, don't know now that you wish you did?
Well, what the teams ahead of us are going to pick.
Right.
I mean, that's what we wish we knew.
The answer was simpler than I hoped it would be.
Maybe it wasn't such a good question.
No, I mean, honestly, you say, hey, we're sitting at 12. What are 1 through 11 planning to do? And, you know, and are they open for business or are they not? I mean, that's – and who's below us open for business?
And
right?
how high do you have to jump?
Right.
If you really want to get up there or if the chance arises, right?
I mean, every year there's a little bit of a curveball. Most years in the first round that, oh, we didn't expect that. And as a league, the league or the draft experts out there would say, oh, that was a little bit unexpected. This player went maybe a round earlier, right? And so that's kind of the buzz that brings that comes with the draft.
You expect, I've been saying this, and Brandon kind of addressed it in the press conference. A lot of this happens on draft day. When the clock starts, when this team gets on the clock and the phone rings,
right,
that's when it all happens.
It is, and the part that's needed really is the couple days. You go back a couple days, usually year to year, that's when people start to, hey, the phone starts to ring. You're at X, in this case for us at 12. Are you interested in moving down? Are you interested in moving up? And then Brandon will come into my office, and I can already see it now. Hey, so I just got a call from so-and-so. And it just, the shopping starts, right?
Right.
And the jockeying for position one way or the other. So, you know, and I can empathize with our fan base. It's exciting for them. It's exciting for us. And, look, I wish everyone of our fans at least could be in our draft room to experience the electric atmosphere that's in there on draft night. It's really unmatched in terms of the off-the-field type of electricity.
So much focus on the quarterbacks in this draft, and Brandon mentioned it a few moments ago, Sean. How much have you been involved in the pre-draft prep for quarterbacks and everybody as far as interviews, face-to-face meeting time with some of these prospects?
Right, very involved. Our coaches, and we have a very team-oriented approach to the draft with our personnel staff and our coaching staff, and Brandon and his staff do a great job of staying open to listening to our coaches. We send our coaches out on private workouts to campuses. They spend more time with draft eligible players, finding out a little bit of some questions we might have in order to drill down further. We have players that come into our facility. So our staff is very involved. I myself have been very involved in Brandon and our conversations with Joe Shane, our assistant general manager, and in particular certain positions we're looking hard at to improve. So, and then Terry and Kim are involved as well. So that's the great part about our ownership is they are very much involved and supportive of what we do.
Tell me a little bit, I want to ask you, one of the things I say about free agency every year, the most important free agents are maybe coordinators. And you got a new one on the offensive side. Tell us about him.
Well, he's a local guy. I know a lot of people from the area know of Brian Dable. He and I first got to know one another at Wim and Mary years ago. He was one of the coaches on the staff, and I was still actually playing. And I've just since that time stayed in touch with Brian and had a chance to watch his career unfold in New England and before that at Michigan State and then at a couple other stops and lately at Alabama winning a national championship. So it's been really interesting to watch Brian develop and his career take shape and to bring a local guy back home, forget the fact that he and I knew one another, but to bring a local guy back home, that's been fun to watch. I've been a part of that before in Philadelphia when I was a coordinator coaching in my backyard where I grew up, and I know the good parts of that. I know the challenges with that too, and so the neat part really that Brian and I can do is we can sit in a room and really say, hey, this is how, you know, what I grew up around, he being with Coach Belichick, myself with Coach Reed, probably two of the more successful active coaches left in the game.
Right.
So it's been really fun to have those type of powwows, if you will.
Last thing, Sean, you were asked in the news conference this similar question to this, but you have a chance now to get before the 2018 Bills for the first time today. What message did you try to impart to them? What did you want them to know about what to expect in the coming months?
Yeah, really just, as far as what to expect, we always try and paint things in a very clear way so that there's great clarity around what we do and what's expected and give them a chance to be the best or develop into the best version of themselves. But really more than that was for us to let's get real and talk about here's 12 teams that made the playoffs in 2016 and the list of the playoff teams in 2017, there was only four teams that repeated. So that's the harsh reality of our league. That's the parity that makes our league so exciting from 1 week, 1 year to the next. So we have our work cut out for us. We're not where we need to be. And not to sound negative, but to go back to saying, hey, this is a new team. There's new people on board. And with that, new personalities and a new culture. Certainly, we will carry forward some things, yes, but we have to start over. And I went through a situation in Carolina coming off the Super Bowl in 2015 and went into 2016, and we won six games. So that's real. That's a part of our league, which in turn makes it very exciting. And but we have to put in the work. We've got to earn the right to get back to where we were and to climb higher when that opportunity presents itself.
Sean, thanks for this. Good luck in the off-season program and good luck in the draft. Week and a half away now.
Thanks. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. And hopefully we get a chance to get together again here sometime
sure.
soon. And,
absolutely.
And hopefully after a good solid draft for the Buffalo Bills in a couple
wait.
Days.
It's going to be fun.
Great.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Sean McDermott in studio with us. We've got more coming up. One more hour to go. The John Murphy Show with Steve Tasker. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where today is the first day of the Bills' off-season conditioning program, Phase 1, which allows for conditioning work, physical rehab for players. There is meeting time in the classroom with the coaching staff, but that's the only interaction. Meantime, the Bills added a couple of players to the roster today. Veteran wide receiver Jeremy Curley and defensive lineman Tenny Palapoi. Jeremy Curley, 29 years old, spent last season with the New York Jets, his original team in the NFL. A couple of years ago with San Francisco, Curley had 64 catches, a career high, for 677 yards and three touchdowns. Tenny Palapoi spent his NFL career so far with the Chargers, San Diego, and Los Angeles. He is a defensive tackle primarily. Palapoi expected to add depth in the middle of the Bills' defensive line, 6'2", 298-pounder. They are both added to the Buffalo Bills roster, those two. Meantime, earlier on this afternoon, you probably heard Bills head coach Sean McDermott and general manager Brandon Bean addressing both the draft and the start of the offseason conditioning program. According to Brandon Bean, he said, you got to have a franchise quarterback, although that was as far as he would go as telegraphing what his plans might be for the upcoming draft. Bills reportedly are hosting a wide receiver on a pre-draft visit today. The report is that DJ Moore from the University of Maryland is in visiting with the Buffalo Bills. Around the NFL, Denver Broncos are releasing running back C.J. Anderson. He was told that this morning. Going into his sixth season in the NFL, Anderson has spent his entire career with the Denver Broncos. Linebacker James Harrison, who turns 40 in a couple of weeks, has decided to retire from the NFL after 15 seasons. He signed with the Patriots December 26 after release by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He said in the week leading up to the Super Bowl, he hoped to play one more year. That will not happen. He was going to retire. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will not attend the start of their offseason program. Gronkowski is still considering whether to play in the upcoming season. And the Buffalo Bisons postponed again for the third consecutive day, postponed by bad weather. Louisville Bats now scheduled to play the Bisons 6:05 tomorrow. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in today on the show, getting set for the start of our show next week. Hope you can tune in next Monday. It'll probably be a lot like today's show, I would think, Steve.
Yeah, it's way better.
Way better.
Way better theme music.
Way better music. A couple of other elements. We're looking forward to the start of One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Next Monday, Steve and I will be here every day, noon to 3. Steve will be here a couple of days this week.
We got our own logo.
We do have a new logo. I don't know if we've shown that. We've had a couple of looks at the logo and some of the stuff going on.
There
but it
go.
Starts for real next week on the radio side on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550.
When we do One Bills Live, are we going to get McDermott on with us then too?
Go get him. He's probably walking
you,
down the hall.
He wants to be on with John Murphy.
No. He wants to be on One Bills Live, I think. Yeah. I think he's excited about
the show.
He's
going to be on with us.
Yeah.
But yeah. He was. I like talking to him. He's a great guy. And I think that's why he's. You know, despite the success they had last year, not just because of the success they had, but he's the kind of guy that speaks well to the fan base here in Buffalo. He's a former wrestler, and he's just a great guy to talk to. He was laughing about not being able to go get gas without having somebody ask about the draft.
I wonder, and I asked him this question about his opening message to his players today, and I think he's onto it, you know, and it's been said by prominent coaches over the last 10 years or so, you don't start where you left off last year. And you guys, especially your team, when you went to four consecutive Super Bowls, did you go to camp the
it's
following
different.
Year thinking, well, that's where we are, now that's where we
well,
start?
Well, here's the thing. It's different now than it was then. There was no free agency back then. So you had the guys coming back who were, you know, because they didn't – nobody's – if their contract was up, they had to either sign with Buffalo and then become a free agent. If they didn't sign with Buffalo, it's because Buffalo didn't think they were good enough. And the salary structure was different back then. The way contracts were negotiated was different back then. So it was a little bit like, okay, here's – you had holes in your roster, but that was all about the draft back then. There was really no way to bolster your roster except through the draft.
Well, just thinking about it, when you were here and the Bills were in the middle or at least towards the end of the Super Bowl run, all of a sudden Will Wolford gets away in Plan B free agency. That was like a major upheaval.
Yeah.
Now that goes on every team a couple of times every year, right? Players, good players, highly paid players, players you've drafted first round maybe, they leave and they come here. You know, Star Lotulelei coming here this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Plan B back then, Plan B free agency, guys started to leave, and it was really – and people here in Buffalo were of the mind that, you know, nobody wanted to play in Buffalo. They didn't want any part of coming here. And, you know, that's just not the case. It's about the salary structure and the atmosphere and guys want to play for a team that they think that they can make a difference for. And Buffalo was one of those teams last year, got a lot of guys coming in. Some of them played on one-year contracts by design from the club. And I think that it's a philosophy, like you said, nowadays with these guys switching teams like that, you do start from square one every year. And I think that's I think a little bit of a surprise to a lot of people who kind of remember what it was like when I played.
Give us a call if you have thoughts on what Sean McDermott said or anything else we've talked about today. The lines are open, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Our Twitter poll, with what's going on and the Bills on the field today for the beginning of their offseason conditioning program, are you confident in the way the Bills are building their roster? The lines are open, and you can vote in our Twitter poll right now. 75% of you responding on Twitter say, yes, you're confident in the way this roster is being built. 25% say no. Like to hear your thoughts on that. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. A tweet from Bills fans, speak up. I have no idea what Bean is doing with this roster on paper, but not worried at all. Very confident he knows what he's doing. Certainly do not dismiss McCarron. No reason to. Great arm, great winner. You know, we'll see.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's all there's. I don't say it's blind faith, but there certainly is a lot of faith in what McDermott and Bean are putting together.
Like I said, yeah, I mean, they saw the results of it last year. A lot of things that people were very, very reluctant to believe could be better for the team, and they all paid off in a playoff berth. And I think people, and I think the fact that they are so willing to trade a lot, and they made the trade already. They were at 21. A month ago, and now they're at 12. So they just never seem to take their foot off the gas. And I think that's what most people want. They want them burning up the phone lines, shaking the bushes, trying to find good players and good deals to get draft picks and players back in here. People love that. They love an active general manager, and particularly in this day and age. And I think they've got one.
I sure do. Here's a call from James in Rochester. Go ahead, James. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, this is McDermott being on. It was nice to hear from him.
Yeah.
I've been listening to you guys now for the last couple months after the season's over about all the speculation on what they're going to do with these picks and all that. To me, it seems like, and I've been saying this for a while to my friends, that McDermott's a defense guy, and he's going to build a winner through defense. I think he covets those linebackers. To go up to two or three or one or two and make these trades and give up all his collateral for Rosen or Darnell or whoever it might be, he doesn't seem like he's like the Rams coach that's like craving one of these young quarterbacks to develop in his own mold of a game. And that I wouldn't say he wants an adequate offense, but I think he wants to build his team with a shutdown defense and a slightly above average offense. If you're committing to Rosen or Darnell, these guys have to start right away. And it looks like you're looking for an electrifying offense that's going to put up 40 points a game. And to me, that just doesn't seem like the MO of this team. And I like your comments.
Well, yeah, and you make some good points there, James. But I want to refer you to what Sean McDermott or what Brandon Bean had to say today at his news conference. He was asked about this. He was, asked about a franchise quarterback and how big a, what's the importance of a quarterback? Here's what Brandon Bean said just moments ago.
You got to have a franchise quarterback. That's one of the main jobs of a GM is to find a franchise quarterback. It's quarterback league. I'll say it every single time. You have to have one.
So you got that, and that stands almost in opposition to what the caller there, James, thought about what Sean McDermott's approach might be. They're going to come to an agreement here at some point, on what they want to do. But you got to have a franchise quarterback. You're in position to get a franchise quarterback, potentially. Yeah, there's no guarantees for that guy or the guy you might pick at number 12. I think it's a very, very interesting decision, Steve.
And the fine line is always, it is and always has been, how much you're going to give up to get up there. You got to pay to get up there. Is it too much? And that's where the gray area comes in. Certainly the Bills, you know, who knows? The Bills could probably trade the Browns out of their, you know, out of their number one pick if they're willing to give up three drafts, you know, 21 players in the next, and not draft a player for 3 years. You know, they may do that. But the simple fact of the matter is that's too much. You got to have something left. You got to get there with as little as possible. And if you can do it, then you know, you should, if you but only if you believe the guy that you're going to get is going to be that guy for 15 years. And if he is, well, then you got a chance. But if he, if you think he is and he turns out not to be, you know, that's where the balance is. You know, it's all these quarterbacks are good prospects. None of them are as good as other prospects we've seen come through the NFL draft. Andrew Luck is always the guy that everybody throws out there. He hasn't won a playoff game. I mean, that's, you got to build around him. And that's where it is and where it's always going to be.
And I think the answer hasn't changed much for the Bills over the last few weeks. Yes, Brandon Bean says you got to have a franchise quarterback. He also was asked today, could you be happy if you come out of this draft without a franchise quarterback? Here's what the Bills GM said.
You know, there's a lot of good players in this draft. And that was the big thing of moving from 21 to 12. The natural assumption, I get it, is they're moving up to get a quarterback, yada, yada, yada. No, we improved our draft position. That was a second-round value jump to go from 21 to 12. We're excited about where that moves us, you know, on our draft board, the players that we see would be available there.
Brandon Bean talking about that. And one more Brandon Bean soundbite. He was asked about the process of trading up for a quarterback and mentioned how difficult it will be if they trade up to get a franchise-caliber quarterback. Here's the Bills GM.
Every draft, I take this as no different. I get it. I really do. But we're at 12, and I don't know what's going to be there at 12. I don't know what quarterback will be there. I don't know if we're going up or going down. And that's really how it is as I sit here. I know everybody, as soon as we're trading up, first of all, I said it before, even if I wanted to trade up right now, even if I said I know the guy I want to get and I need to get to this spot, it takes a partner to do it and be willing to move out. And so, again, I think I'll lose sleep every year going into the draft because you're always going to have holes. You're always going to want to make your roster more competitive and better. And that's the thing. We want to find the best football players that we can to help us in 2018 and beyond, and that's the vision.
Steve, the Bills, Bean, McDermott, have never said we're jumping up and getting a quarterback. They've never said that. We've all assumed that. Did they pump the brakes a little bit today on possibly moving up in the draft to get a quarterback? What do you think?
Yeah, maybe. I think, yeah, he's right. There's three things. You got to have the player that you want to go up and get. You got to have a partner to get it, and it's got to be the right price. So it's player, partner, and price.
Yeah.
You got to have all three of those things in place, and that's hard to get all three of those things in place, particularly in a year where you've got a quarterback that you think is the guy or one of three quarterbacks that you think is the guy. And let's face it, I think there's a handful of teams out there, the Bills may be one of them, I don't know, that they might be happy with any one of four guys in this draft. They might like all of them for different reasons, but they might like all of them. And they said they made it clear in the press conference, it's not clear because they're having debates even in the room about how do you see Baker Mayfield and it's A, B, and C, and how do you see Sam or Josh Rosen and it's A, B, and C. They have debates even now as to which of their personnel people like which quarterback the best. So there is some gray area there. And I think there's a lot of teams that they like all those guys. And if they can get one of them, if they think one of them will fall to them at 12, they stay right there and use your picks.
Depends on how much they want to pay. Here's a call from Brian in Buffalo. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, first off, did you look outside, Steve and Merv? It's snowing, actually. It's actually now.
Oh, good.
So,
thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, right. Your day. So, hey, real quick thing. I listened to the press conference. What do you think about this as an idea? They stay at 12.
And, you know, he was very clear about, hey, I don't know if we're moving up, moving down. I would still think it's successful. We don't get a quarterback. You know, the offensive line with Incognito leaving, it looks as though leaving. I can't say as somebody who McCoy's going to be able to run behind and get the personal goals that McCoy's looking for. What if we make a trade with McCoy for Nick Foles, who's kind of been quiet of late? There's a lot of talk he's going to stay in Philly, but who knows? They traded Kiko for McCoy straight up, what, 3 years ago. McCoy's not any younger. You swap McCoy, who's not going to run behind some great line, along with a third rounder or something. You get your quarterback, and you keep all these picks, and you build around them. And I know we haven't talked a lot about it of late with the free agency around quarterbacks taking up time a couple weeks back when everybody was scurrying, but Foles is still there. Clearly the Eagles maybe think they've got some trade bait on draft day. I'd like to get your thoughts on that if I could, and I appreciate – I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate it.
Well, I think – yeah, and I get it. Nick Foles is an attractive guy, a quarterback who just won the Super Bowl. But let's face it, you got to get the Philadelphia Eagles to say yes to that. And by saying yes to that, they lose the quarterback that's probably going to have to start the first six or seven games of the season for them. And they're a team that wants to go back and win another Super Bowl. Carson Wentz got hurt in week 15, I believe, of last year with three games left. He's not going to be ready to go full speed and through training camp or all. It's just not enough time to come back off an ACL. So they need Nick Foles to come in and play games for them, I believe, in the first month and a half of the season, maybe the first half or two-thirds of the season, if they're playing well. So I don't think Philly's going to be interested in trading away Nick Foles for LeSean McCoy and a draft pick or anything like that. But I like the idea. I mean, you get Nick Foles through a trade and all that. Don't think that nobody has called Philly asking about their backup quarterback who had to start the Super Bowl.
I don't like the idea. You know what I want to see for the Bills? I want to see the future franchise quarterback, not just a pretty good guy who won a Super Bowl, did a pretty good job in winning a Super Bowl. I don't think Nick Foles is a franchise quarterback in this league. I think he had a good finish to last year. He was on a very talented team that was already kind of chugging its way to the finish line at the Super Bowl. So I don't think he's the answer here. I would hate if they settled for – I think it'd be a settle to go for Nick Foles. Yeah. Is he capable? Can he play in the league? Yeah. Is he a difference-making franchise quarterback that you can plug and play for 10 years after you get him ready to play? I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think he's
when a guy wins a game like that, it always kind of seems to look easy. Just plug him in at our team, and he's going to play just as good, and it's not really that true. It's not really true. And let's face it, Nick Foles was a guy who was thinking about giving up football.
Yeah.
Until they sent him back to Philadelphia, where he loved playing, had a great experience there the first time around when it didn't go well for him as a high draft pick, and he was ready to go back there and play. Otherwise, he'd have been out of football. So I see both sides of that argument. I have no idea. I have no problem believing that if you traded for him and he came here, that he would play and play, give you his best effort. But I don't know that that's going to be enough to win a playoff game or get you any further than you got with the other guys.
Got a call here from Butch. Butch, go ahead. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi, John. Hi, Steve. Nice to see you, Steve.
Thank you.
Great show. I just want to really jump into it, John. You know, you was playing some clips of what Brandon Bean was speaking of, and one clip that in the same segment wasn't said was, he says, whether we have a franchise quarterback on our roster already or we may have to get one. And I really believe that Brandon Bean believes that he believes in A.J. McCarron. He believes in Nate Peterman. I'm not saying he won't pick up a quarterback later on in his draft like a Luke Falk or a Mason Rudolph to add to that meeting room. But I really believe that they believe that they have their quarterback already. Now, saying that, John, early when you had a coach on, coach said that, you know, it's a possibility they might package some picks and move forward, or they might send some picks going backwards. I believe when they got rid of Cordy Glenn, who they wanted to get rid of anyway, it was a blessing for them to get at the 12th pick. I believe they're going to use that 12th pick to pick up more picks. I'm looking at something like a New Orleans Saints at 27, who wants Lamar Jackson so bad that they can go use that 12 and go back and pick up an extra second and third and package and start drafting some of these players that he said that the draft is full of and stock this roster. I believe in these guys. These guys are very smart. Brandon Bean is very intelligent. and I really believe he knows what he's doing. I like the way that he came off, and then throughout, we might move forward first, and then we might move back for second,
right.
Same thing Coach did. So it's just something to look at, John and Steve, and I really, really believe you. I appreciate your call. But let me just say this last thing.
Yeah.
Hope when they do to make this move, it's a kid out of Baylor University. His name is Brian Nance Jr. Plays DN, play outside linebacker. A kid that like 6'4", about 200 and maybe 50 pounds, can run. Google him up. He's a real good kid, and also he's a local kid. And the thing about it is he played at Baylor for 4 years and played well. So
okay.
If you guys look at that. I love you guys, and can't wait for next week.
Thanks, Butch. We love you, too. Butch is right. They threw out the prospect of possibly moving down as well. And look, you got to believe when Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, before they took to the podium today or the table, they had a little meeting, I'm sure, and part of it was, let's not give anything away. Let's throw a few smoke screens out there. Right? I mean,
here's the thing.
If you're looking, look, 31 other teams either watched Bean and McDermott today or you're going to get a transcript, put together a transcript of what they said to try to figure out what the Buffalo Bills are doing.
Absolutely. And they wanted to make sure that they left no possibility off the table as a possibility, a real possibility for this club to do. They may sit right at 12. I think there's no question that they like A.J. McCarron. They traded to get him, and he's a solid NFL quarterback at the very least. So they have no problem. And in fact, you got to think, too, that if they draft a guy, A.J. McCarron's still probably going to be the starting quarterback early in the year unless they jump to number one and pick the kid. Then they got the pressure to play him. But by the same token, everything that we heard today from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott makes us know that everything is a possibility. They're not giving anything away. We don't know exactly what they're going to do. We can make assumptions about it, but they're not giving anything away.
They didn't today.
They didn't today. And we all asked in a half an hour, 40-minute press conference they were in, the guys and the beat writers were all over them, asking them every which way they could to try and get something out of them. And every time they gave every scenario as a possibility to trade up, trade down, stay put. You know, package players, package draft picks and move up, or package players, package draft picks and move down. Yeah. Everything. So I think the thing that I got out of this thing today is they are all over every aspect of this draft. they know what they want to do, although they said they don't even have the order of their quarterbacks set yet.
Right.
So they're not even if they want to jump up and get a quarterback, you can't even find out which one they would take if they did. So, yeah, as the caller just said, they're really smart. They've thought through everything, and they're ready to go. I mean, I think they're really excited for this draft, like all of us.
All of us are. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, going to get back into kickoffs a little bit. We talked about that. I know we got a couple of calls about that. We're going to talk more about the draft. We're going to talk more about the Bills and where their roster stands right now, and we'll take more of your phone calls. So we got a lot of stuff to cover over the final 30 minutes of the show. Come on back. The John Murphy Show with Steve Tasker. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Final week of the John Murphy Show. Next week, brand new show, One Bills Live. Myself and this guy, Steve Tasker, live here from noon to 3. A week from today, Steve, people are getting excited.
It's about time. I've been waiting for a while.
We should just start it today.
Let's make the transition just smooth and easy.
Get people excited. Hey, we got NFL True or False coming up. We've got our Twitter poll out there. If you'd like to participate, as the Bills hit the field today, first day of the off-season conditioning program, you heard Sean McDermott talk about that. What do you think of this Buffalo roster right now with the draft coming up? We know there's still a lot of pieces to add, but are you confident in the way the Bills are building this roster right now? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or vote on Twitter. On our Twitter poll, that's confidence. 75% of the respondents say, yeah, I like what they're doing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That season ended last year, it was a huge boost. Not only to the fan base, but to the team, the club, the general manager, the head coach. I mean, they got a lot of confidence, and they're really using it to build off of this year. the confidence they got from making all those moves that were so controversial at the time last year. The only move that they took heat for last year that didn't go well was the Nate Peterman move in week six or seven when they quarterback.
That was week
and they
went, nine,
and
ten,
they flipped it back,
yeah.
And they flipped it back right away after one half that Nate Peterman fell off a cliff. But that's really the only time, the only decision they made that really didn't work out for him.
Here's an interesting tweet. You asked me, and the reason why this is interesting, during the break, Steve asked me the same question. Big Bills fan, 1965, tweets in, Murph, me, can you accept what the Bills do on draft night? Maybe no quarterback. Could you accept their decision? Hashtag trust the process. Well, Big Bills fan, 1965, I have no choice. Well, what can I do if I don't accept it? Walk out? No. I hope they draft a quarterback. I really do. I think they've been setting themselves up for the last year to get in position to draft a franchise quarterback in the first round. May not be able to. They may not do it. I think if they're in position to do it, to get one of the premium ones, they will. But they may not be able to. So, sure, I can accept the decision. Will I be disappointed? This is the question Steve asked me about 15 minutes ago. Yeah, I'll be disappointed. When are you going to get 6 draft picks in the first 3 rounds?
You don't care about that. You just, because we've been talking about nothing else for like
right.
2 months, and
yes.
It's all for nothing if they don't take one.
We'll follow Sam Darnold's career with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, who wants to do that?
That would stink.
That would be awful. But, sure, they might not get a quarterback.
Listen, if they don't get a quarterback and it turns – and they turn into a perennial playoff contender and go deep in the playoffs with a chance at the Super Bowl once in a while. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, because that's the goal. I don't care if they take the quarterback and he turns into this great player who turns into, Drew Bledsoe or, some other guy who's really played well who never went to the, like Philip Rivers. Where does that get us? Those guys never won a Super Bowl. They even got Phillip Rivers. They never get to one.
Yeah. I know. I just want a chance to get a great quarterback here, and this looks like the chance they have with the picks they have.
And you look around the league, look at the Minnesota Vikings, who, went to the – or, had one of their great seasons ever this last year with Case Keenum, who's a journeyman.
Yeah.
So
anyway, couple of things. We got to finish. I don't want to finish up because Steve is a couple of weeks away. And we'll talk more about this. Steve's been invited to a seminar, I guess you'd call it, right, at the NFL League offices about what to do about kickoffs and punts. It's your opinion. They're looking seriously at eliminating kickoffs, right, for the safety reasons?
Yeah, I think they'll cut down on the number of kickoffs or change the way they look entirely. They've tinkered with it before. Going all the way back to 1974, they tinker with where they kick the ball off from. But whenever the ball is kicked off any time that the ball's brought out of the end zone and guy tries to run it, it's a dangerous play.
So Steve is going to be part of a panel discussion about ideas. And if you have ideas, give us a ring, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Pat on the line from Toronto. Pat, do you have a thought on kickoffs in the future? What do you think?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was thinking that, you have to leave the kickoffs in the game. But what I was thinking was, if you move the kickoff back to the 35, I think they used to be, and if the kicker can kick it out of the end zone, you make the touchback something like the 15-yard line to reward the kicking team. But if they kick it just into the end zone, the receiving team just has to catch the ball, and then they get it on the 25, and there are no kickoff returns. You just catch the ball.
What happens if he doesn't get it there? What against the wind or something like that in November, where you're trying to kick it into one end of the stadium, you can't even reach the end zone.
What if he gets to the 1 or 2 or 5 yard line?
Yeah,
yeah. Then what, Pat?
That's where my third point was going to be. Was if the kicking team keeps it in the field of play, then the touchback comes back to the 40 yard line.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
something like that. Just so then you can leave in the option of the onside kick surprise aspect of the game.
That's an interesting one too.
That's actually fairly sane.
Yeah, you have the kickoffs,
so if you
with a couple of different outcomes.
With different outcomes now, absolutely.
And
but
no
here's
contact.
The thing, why would the return team, why would you even need 11 guys out there? How would you line up? Because they wouldn't, if there aren't going to be any returns, just in order for everybody to catch the football, because you can't return it. If you can keep the ball on the field of play, if the guy can't reach the end zone, that would mean – I got to write all this down. This is because I got to throw this out there when I get to New York. But yeah, there's the ripple effect is far-reaching because with no returns in the game, you give up the either team's opportunity to have something really good or really bad happen to them, aside from field position and the changeover possession. And it has been in the past, and I said this in the earlier of the show, there's always that chance that you're going to get a kickoff return for a touchdown or have a fumble and a recovery and go in for a touchdown like you can on every other play. And it's the deliberate changeover and field position that's changed. So that idea kind of addresses the two of them, but not the third one. And, you know, we've talked about my son playing in Canada. If you kick it out of the end zone and they don't bring it out of the end zone, the team that kicked it gets a point. Or something like that. They have points involved in that, and if so, you can start the entire game off with a single point if you want. So you can have a 1-0 game at now. But
you better start looking at the. If you're going to this meeting, you better start.
Yeah, believe me, I've been doing a little bit of homework, but I got to start talking about the CFL stuff now.
Time for NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I look at some of the stories out there in the NFL and pronounce them true or false. Dez Bryant released last week by the Dallas Cowboys. Dez Bryant on Friday was quoted as saying, "That's something I want. Staying in the division," he said. Dez Bryant was asked, "Where do you want to go next to play in the NFL?" He said, "Quote: I won't say any teams, but being in the division, that's a huge possibility. That's something that I want." So, what does that make it? He's gone from the Cowboys. That would mean what? Washington or New York
or Philly?
Or Philly? Dez Bryant should stay in the NFC East. True, false? I'm saying false. Who cares? Why? Why does it have to be that division? Why?
No, I don't think he needs to. And in fact, I don't think he will. There are too many teams around the league that need a good wide receiver, a guy who can go up and make plays. I mean, he might be a fit for a Seattle Seahawks team. You know, he might be a fit for an Arizona Cardinals team or any of those. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything. I mean, he may want to just because in the moment when he got released, he wants to go back and make the Cowboys hurt. But I think when push comes to shove, he'll take the best offer and I think the best opportunity.
One more NFL, true or false. Patriots players are finally fed up with Bill Belichick. Danny Amendola did an interview with our buddy Mike Reese of ESPN about how difficult it is to play for Belichick. He called him I won't say the word, but he said, "There were a lot of things I didn't like about playing for him, but I must say the things I didn't like were all about getting the team better, practicing in the snow, etc." Belichick, you know, with the great results, but are players finally fed up with him? NFL, true or false? I say false because what will happen, I believe, is Belichick will find another group of players who are not fed up with him and do exactly what he wants if they don't want to.
Well, that's just – you're talking to guys – unlike Gronkowski, we've talked about him wanting to retire. I think, interestingly enough, those are guys who have played there for a while, more than a handful of years. Julian Edelman, Tom Brady, Amendola, they've been there for more than a handful of years, and those guys might be fed up. But I think there's a lot of players that would like to go there to get their fill of, a 14-win season or 13-win season and a trip to the championship game and probably the Super Bowl. That's hard to get tired of.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. A call here, quick one here from Paul in Lancaster. Go ahead, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Back to the draft. I say no. Too high a price to pay for an IFCOM. Maybe go down to 6 or 7, get Edmonds or Smith, the linebackers, and leave it at that.
Where are you going to get a franchise quarterback, Paul?
You might have one on the team right now.
Which one of the fifth-round picks is going to be the franchise quarterback?
You might have one on the team right now, McCarron or Pierce.
You might.
Yeah.
Both guys are fifth-round draft picks.
Just as much a chance with them as you do with these four kids coming out right now.
Nah, not true. I don't think that's true, Paul. I know what you're saying. No guarantees, but I don't think anyone would really realistically argue that a guy who's been in the league, McCarron's been in the league for, 3 or 4 years now, never been a starter on a regular basis, had some good moments. You're really going to try to argue that he is guaranteed to be a better player than Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, the best of this draft class? I just think, no.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think there may be a great quarterback on the roster with Peterman or A.J. McCarron, but with draft picks and the guys who talk football and know football think that they're pretty good guys at the top of this draft. Yeah. I think you got to take a chance and get one at a position like that. So I would disagree with that too. I think if you can get one of these guys for the right price, I think you go ahead and go up and get one.
The right price is the key.
The right price is absolutely the key.
We're going to break. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show with Steve Tasker. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Picked up the news conference live from head coach Sean McDermott and GM Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean talked about how important it is to have a franchise quarterback.
You got to have a franchise quarterback. That's one of the main jobs of a GM is to find a franchise quarterback. It's quarterback league. I'll say it every single time. You have to have one.
That's kind of an answer to the last caller, too, about forget about it, just draft guys. No, you got to have a franchise quarterback. You got a chance. Yeah. Anyway, that's my position.
There's other people on that we're getting in that say, you know, he doesn't understand the right price argument. Yeah. You got to give up four number ones to get Aaron Rodgers. Wouldn't you do that? I mean, there is no price too high, but the problem is, and we were laughing about it, that's great. What if it turns out not to be Aaron Rodgers, but Roy Rodgers, and you get 50 people fired in their families, and they're all out on the street, you know?
Yeah, so that's
not
the risk.
That's the risk.
Yeah. We had Sean McDermott both picked up the news conference, had him on the show, and I asked Sean McDermott how involved he has been in the draft process so far.
Very involved. Our coaches and we have a very team-oriented approach to the draft with our personnel staff and our coaching staff, and Brandon and his staff do a great job of staying open to listening to our coaches. We send our coaches out on private workouts to campuses. They spend more time with draft-eligible players, finding out a little bit of some questions we might have in order to drill down further. We have players that come into our facility. So our staff is very involved. I myself have been very involved in Brandon and our conversations with Joe Shane, our assistant general manager, and in particular certain positions we're looking hard at to improve. And then Terry and Kim are involved as well. So that's the great part about our ownership is they are very much involved and supportive of what we do.
Sean McDermott talking about his involvement in the draft. I'm certain he's involved, Steve. I wonder if he's more involved than he ever thought he would be, given the fact that the Bills have those premium picks, those six picks in the first three rounds.
Yeah, they've got their work cut out for them. They've got to know. Obviously, the quarterback thing's got to get sorted out and all those top picks. But you're talking about a team that's got – they're going to grab a bunch of players in this draft. They got to be ready for all of that, not just those guys at the top. And I think he's neck deep in player evaluations that have nothing to do with taking a snap.
Draft is only a week and a half away now, 10 days away from round one of the NFL draft. In the meantime, phase one of the Bills offseason conditioning program continues here at One Bills Drive tomorrow. This is the first day today, second day tomorrow. We'll get some players from the current roster on our show coming up tomorrow. And if you missed the news of the day, the Bills signed a couple of veterans, Jeremy Curley, wide receiver. You may remember that name from the New York Jets. He had a really good year with the 49ers two seasons ago. 64 catches, 667 yards, and three touchdowns. And they also signed Tanny Palapoe, defensive lineman, who spent most of the last four seasons with the Chargers, Los Angeles and San Diego Chargers. 20 tackles as a backup for the Chargers last year. Palapoe, 6'2", 298 pounders. So they're still adding. And the other thing, you know, we listened to the news conference. The one thing that we didn't get a chance to talk much about, but he is absolutely right. Sean McDermott said it. And he was, I think, trying to pay a compliment to the GM, Brandon Bean. It's a 12-month process.
Oh, man.
I mean, and our Twitter poll, you know, we talk about how do you feel about the roster right now? Well, that's today. Roster could look different tomorrow, and it's going to look a lot different in a week and a half.
They got a whole whole crew or staff of people that do nothing but watch pro football tape. And they make evaluations at every position, on every other team, in every other league. That means Canadian Football League, NFL, the spring league they got, everything, the arena league. They watch tape, and they know they have a file on every guy they can think of. They track, you know, 1,500 guys around the league all the time, and it happens 12 months a year because there's just so much information available, and they've got to get it right. I mean, that's what the whole business comes down to, is finding a guy that you will help you win.
We asked our listeners and our followers on Twitter, what do you think of the roster as it stands right now on the first day of the off-season conditioning program? And overwhelmingly, 75% of you said you like the direction they're going in when it comes to the Bills roster. 75% on Twitter said, yeah, you're confident they're building the roster in the right way. 24% said, not quite sure. We're going to talk more about that over the next several days, obviously. Steve, you're back with us tomorrow, right? We're looking
forward to
that.
Yeah, I'm going to be back tomorrow. And it's the thing, too. They pick one of those top quarterbacks. There's going to be a ton of people thinking, you picked the wrong one.
Oh, yeah.
Picked the wrong
Absolutely.
One. Oh, you can't win.
You can't
Oh,
win.
My gosh. We just have to wait and see.
Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltenick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back with you, Steve and I, tomorrow at 12 noon from snowy Orchard Park with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.